Hello.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, 2017.
Teen, yeah.
We're in the
And
future.
you're having computer problems?
Oh, with Skype, you mean?
Yeah.
Skype was gonna update, but then
And then
it
you
failed
started
to
doing
update.
Control Alt Delete. Stop! Don't do it.
I said, don't do it. Stop, stop, stop. Cancel, cancel, cancel.
If Skype updates, it's like the apocalypse.
That's what I hear, although mine has updated several times.
But it failed.
This time it failed. And welcome to hour 21 of the Geek Brunch New Year's 24-hour marathon.
21? We're doing 21 hours?
This
What?
is hour 21. Unfortunately, due to a technical error, we lost the first 20 hours of the recording, but
Oh, I see.
how you holding in?
I'm
You holding up,
exhausted.
Mike?
I'm exhausted. I'm delirious after all the eggnog and liquor.
We are wasted. We are
Yeah.
wasted. It's been a long night, but it's worth it, Mike.
Yes,
Even
it
though we
was worth
lost the
it.
recording, it's
It's
still
because of
worth
your
it.
Skype. It was trying to update.
I know it tried to update and it deleted all the recording. God, it crashed my recording software.
Yeah, your recording software, it was connected to your reel-to-reel player.
I was so delirious I didn't realize the tape had snapped. And it was
Yeah.
just spinning around and around and around and around. I was wondering what that noise was.
Yeah, and you have to get your computer cards and load them into the IBM machine.
I couldn't find my punch cards, new
Yeah,
punch
your punch
cards.
cards.
Oh.
You dropped them and you couldn't put them in the right order.
That's right. I didn't
Damn
know. We have the recording on punch cards, luckily, but
it.
they're not in order, so it's gonna take a while.
And it's a lot of punch cards. I mean,
It's a lot of punch cards.
think of all those hours of punch cards.
Is a lot of punch
Matter of
cards.
fact, he
What
has
can
both his kids working on it right now, trying to
I
sort them.
do? 25 cents an hour.
Yeah. That's gonna take a long time. That's
That
a
is going to
lot
take
of
a while.
punch cards.
I may have to just bag and board them and put them on my comic shelf, and then 20 years from now, I'll sort them.
Yeah,
Just like I do my comics.
when all the other computers crash because of viruses, we'll still have those punch cards and be able to release it on the IBM system.
Yeah, that's
Nobody's
true.
going to have viruses for those.
During the zombie apocalypse, all we have to do is we'll make our way to the IBM headquarters.
Yeah,
The
fuck
big blue, and
technology, man.
we'll be like, we have it. We
Yeah.
have it. You have the cure? No, we have a
That's
podcast, a new podcast for people to listen to.
right.
I'll be, oh, you have new recording? No one's recorded anything in the 15 years.
Yeah. And they'll say, yeah, get it off these punch cards, but don't drop them.
That's right. And we're walking in the door, and I trip and fall, and the punch card
Yeah.
goes sliding across the floor. No.
So you've been putting out a lot of comics with your son.
Yes, we just finished our Christmas week a
That
little bit
little
ago.
teddy bear, whatever the fuck it scares the fuck out of me, dude.
Mr. Bubbles. Mr. Bubbles
Yeah.
scares you?
It scares me, dude. It scares me that people could look at him and, I mean, look at Alfie and think this guy's normal.
Why? Because he has a teddy bear?
Yeah, he's like the ventriloquist in DC Comics.
He doesn't make
He
Mr.
thinks
Bubbles
it's
talk.
real. He doesn't have any real friends.
He has friends.
He just got family.
He has next door neighbors.
Yeah, but that's not a real friend. We talked about neighbors before, didn't we? We had a whole discussion on the last episode about neighbors.
We? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's not friends.
That's true. Raleigh,
They're
he has a na
acquaintances.
his neighbor. He likes his neighbor Raleigh Wobblers, though.
But does Wally Wobbler like him? Or does he say, you, that crazy motherfucker's
Raleigh
always
likes you, and
talking?
Raleigh is a little scary to me.
Yeah,
He's a little I shouldn't talk.
Shouldn't give it away. You shouldn't give it away. It could be in an upcoming story.
Raleigh and his wandering hands. Oh, I dropped my car keys in your lap.
Oops.
Oops. Raleigh, that seems to happen a lot. Oh, this is horrible. Yes. Ooh. For all your all ages fun, go to alfie@mrbubbles.com.
And listen to this for the behind the scenes of what it really means.
I will say that there have been several ideas I've come up with that my son has knocked down because they're not kid friendly. I'll say that all the time. You can't do that, Dad. It's not kid friendly.
So did his friends read the comics?
I don't know if he's told his friends.
You should ask him.
He's told some of them.
Is he embarrassed of you?
Probably.
This is like Keith Knudsen not promoting DC Noise. He's embarrassed of it.
Well, he denies it, right? That's another Keith Knudsen.
He denies it. So did you have a good, did you have some time off?
Yeah, I've been off for months now.
I feel that you've accomplished more than I have, though.
Over my break?
Yeah.
It goes too fast. Like, I plan to do stuff, and then suddenly it's the end of the day. I'm like,
I hope we retire close to each other, and then we have all this time to do shit, you know? I could fly over there, and then we could grab Mr. Bubbles and go to the art museum. You could put on your hair will probably look like that in a couple more years.
It is possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. I've avoided the male pattern baldness thus far. I got the gray hair gene.
I do too. I got gray hairs coming out of all kinds of places. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
When did that turn gray?
It's scary getting old.
I got the gray hair, but I didn't get the bald hair. I didn't get the baldness, so I'm okay with gray.
Yeah.
Look old, though. I'm so old.
I just had an MRI, and they're like, these little white dots in your brain, they're totally normal because you're old.
Really?
I'm like, god damn.
These are the dead parts of your brain. That's to be expected, though, because you're... You don't need that stuff anymore. Plus, I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We have to rely on our listeners to clarify it for us. And we even have the internet in front of us. That's how bad we are. Oh, yeah? We have our internet?
It's not as much fun to look stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I had all kinds of goals, and I achieved maybe a quarter of them.
Oh yeah, how's the? You should.
I didn't achieve that. No, it just went by too fast. It seems like we spent half of it in New Mexico, and it was like doing stuff with family all the time, or when I had downtime, I was reading. And then we came back, and it seemed like I got a few things done, but I didn't get, like, nowhere near. I mean, God, I had so many goals. I was supposed to get caught up on my Valiant. That didn't happen. I was supposed to finish an Epic collection. That didn't happen. I did get caught up on Amazing Spider-Man and Inhumans, on all the Inhumans and X-Men series, though.
That's good.
So I was on the
up to date list. On the current story. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I did do a lot of reading, so that was good.
Yeah, I read a lot of Marvel, which was I got really into it. I needed to switch because I've been so much on this keeping up with DC.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't know about
neglecting Marvel.
Yeah, I'm about 20 books behind in DC right now, and I have to catch up by tonight or tomorrow. I don't know when we're recording, but man.
You have tomorrow off, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow's our holiday day off.
Yes, I'm
officially, because it fell on a Sunday. But it went too fast. I don't know what retirement's gonna be like. But if 2 weeks off is like any indication, I'm gonna have plenty of shit to do.
Like, you're gonna say it's gonna go by fast, so you'll retire and then you'll be like, "Oh shit! I'm like dying now."
I hope not.
It's over. You're like, "Oh no, it's over."
Well, if I didn't get that far, I mean,
I didn't accomplish anything.
I did watch the movie Idiocracy. Have you ever seen that?
I have, but I need to see it again because of the state of the world.
It is scary because it pokes fun of what actually happened.
I know. Life is, yes, imitating art.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember. I remember I liked it, but I don't remember the specifics.
I liked it, but it was a little... It wasn't like Office. This is a Mike Judge film. He did it with one of the Coen brothers. But you could definitely see Mike Judge in there, but it's not... I hate this. It's not as, it doesn't have as serious undertones as Office Space. Like, it goes a little beyond that. It gets a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it is more of a broader parody, I think.
Way broader parody. Space was. Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little more grounded, you know? But mm-hmm. it was pretty out there. I mean, the thing is what it happens like way in the future, which is scary because it's not way in the future now, but it's a parody on people getting dumber as time goes on, because the people that are intelligent within Q's stop breeding,
mm-hmm.
and the people that are dumb keep breeding until they overcome everything. And in the future, they had froze somebody, kind of like Captain America. They had froze this one guy who was an average guy, an average Joe, average across the board. And he became the smartest man in the world when he woke up in the future with a prostitute. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. A coworker of mine lent it to me and said, "You need to watch this based on the current political climate."
So had you seen it before?
No, I hadn't seen it before. This is the first time.
Okay.
We watched it last night.
Yeah. Like I said, I saw it back when it first came out on, I don't know, DVD or whatever. Or mm-hmm. where I saw it. So it would be interesting to see again. Plus, it's got Terry Crews in it, so.
Yeah, he's the president.
He's always fun to watch, especially when he's...
so pumped up.
He's blended. I still love him in that movie.
Which one?
Blended.
Which one is this?
That was the one Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore and they go on vacation.
Oh, that is good. I forgot about that.
He's the entertainment.
Yeah, he's the entertainment.
Blended.
He's good in that. I like the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movies. I don't know. I'm a sucker for them. I like Adam Sandler movies in general. I think there's a couple that I haven't liked, like Little Nicky. I didn't care for. And there's a couple of them I didn't like, but overall, I like his stuff. So, do you want to talk movies since we're here?
Sure.
What did you go to the movies for or watch on tape?
The only thing I went to the movies for, I think, is the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I liked it when, well, it was a spoiler, but when Rey went to see Luke Skywalker at the end, that was emotional and it made me cry.
You went to go see that movie at the theater?
What? Yeah, the new Star Wars movie.
That's not the new Star Wars movie.
What do you mean?
Rogue Squadron is the new
Rogue Squad. That's a Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. They lied to me. No wonder the theater was empty on opening day.
It was empty, and you thought you were going to the big movie.
Son of a... No wonder it was in the dollar theater. I was just like, how's this in the dollar theater on opening day? It was good though.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw Rouge One.
No, you saw the wrong movie. It's Rogue One. It's not
Oh.
Rouge. Rouge is something you put on your face.
Yeah, I think that's the porno version I think I saw.
Oh, is that what you saw? There, Barb was watching Sons of Anarchy, and she's like, man, she's close to, I mean, she's either on the last season or the penultimate season. And I guess those guys went into the porn business, and they were making like a Frankenstein porn parody. It was pretty funny.
Really? That would be
Yeah,
fun.
they had the bolts hooked up to her nipples and stuff. Frankenhooker. There was a movie called Frankenhooker.
I remember Frankenhooker back in the day.
I rented it. VHS, baby.
I think I probably did too.
Yeah, that's when you went
that
into
was a
that was when you were a punk rocker and you went in with your chain belt.
I went in my chain belt and I said, Where's Frankenhooker?
Where's the bloody ass, Frankenhooker?
You wanker.
Yes, anarchy in the UK, baby.
And I knocked over a shelf of video cassettes and they went
the beta
across
ones.
The room.
You were rebelling against beta.
The beta, I knocked over the little beta section.
Fuck these beta. Anarchy in the UK, baby.
Yeah, remember they used to have like most of the stores VHS, but then they had a little beta, a couple little beta shelves.
Did you have long hair or did you have short hair?
I had long hair in my 20s. Yeah, 20s.
Okay, so you were long or out of the house yet or in college?
Yeah, when I was in college.
Yeah.
That's when I...
See, in high school, I had
compelled.
A weird haircut. It was kind of like wave punk. It didn't last long, but I had like a half mohawk. I shaved half of my head. I wish I could find a picture of it because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, where's the pictures, man?
I don't know, man. Barb knows. She saw it. She knows it existed.
So why'd you go for a half...
I don't know. Back then, there was a time when I went to my friend's house. We were basketball players, and we were bored, and everybody just started shaving their heads.
Was it for one of your movies?
Well, it wasn't for Transvestite Killer because we wore wigs, but it was for like the videos and stuff. And I didn't want them to shave my head because I didn't know what they would do because I saw what they did to themselves. So I kind of had it professionally done. I said, I want it done like this at the barbershop.
So you went in the barbershop and you sat down and you said, they said, what do you want?
Yeah,
said,
shave this whole
take
side.
Off half.
Leave this, half of... trim this.
Did you take off the
front
half?
It actually didn't look too much like punk, but like sort of like punk new wave.
Well, did you shave off the front half or the back half?
It was the whole right side.
Well, that's where you went wrong. You should have just saved up the front half. That would have been... But then you'd look like a... I don't know.
I don't know.
Or something.
I'd look like Mr. Bubbles. Alfie is what I look like.
Okay, Alfie. That's how you should have done. Just shaved like right down the middle. A reverse mohawk.
Yeah, that's what I could have done. Reverse mohawk. I've been tempted to, like, when I have, like, a two-week hiatus, I've come close.
To mohawking it?
Yeah. I did that OMAC haircut, but I didn't go out of the house with it. And I would need to let it grow a little more. And I would do it, like, during this 2 weeks. I'd have to, like, let the hair grow until, like, before Christmas, and then before bang.
Yeah.
And then freak out my parents. And
I know, then your mom would be like, Michael, what did you do?
Where did you go? Where did we go wrong?
Did you quit your job? That's what you get for reading those comic books.
Yeah. Rogue One. Okay, so we're talking Rogue One.
Rogue One, yes.
Did you go by yourself, or did you go with family, or what did it happen?
I went with my son.
Ah, that seems to be like a pairing lately.
Yes, he is my movie partner.
You do the movie team-ups.
Yes.
And then you brainstorm Alfie and Mr. Bubbles ideas after. We
brainstorm comic ideas, yes. We have a great one with Varth Dater, who's our new character.
Varth Dater?
Varth Dater.
There you go. And what did you think?
I enjoyed Rogue One, but I didn't like it as much as I liked Episode 7.
Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Force Awakens. There's a different pacing to it. I think the first half of the movie of Rogue One is pretty slow.
There was a lot of yeah.
Really, really, really good. But you kind of like need it, and it really is good, like for A New Hope, to see what these people went through to get the plans.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is.
No, it's definitely an interesting telling of the backstory.
Yeah.
And filling in, explaining some of the reasons for some of the things that happened in the subsequent movies.
Yeah. But the last half or the last quarter was a real spectacle to watch. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, there were some beautiful scenes. All the fighting stuff and all the ship stuff was beautiful.
I really dug when they did the hammerhead whatever move, where they took one of the ships and rammed it into
the other one. Yeah.
Well, they rammed it into the dysfunctional Star Destroyer, which had no thrusters at the time, and rammed it into the one that was functional.
Yeah, that was awesome.
To bring down the shields, that was pretty awesome.
Scraping across the top of that one.
Yeah.
Ripping it up.
Yeah, I was impressed. It was good. I saw it twice already. I saw it once with Barb and then once with my family, my mom and dad.
So did you get anything new from the second viewing?
Mm-mm. I think I caught all the Easter eggs the first time because of the pacing. Do you know what I mean? Like the first half, there's a lot of Easter eggs and stuff, you know, like the Cantina dudes, they're actually on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
They actually bump into them kind of like they do Ben and Luke bump into them in the cantina on Mos Eisley. But I didn't get a lot more out of it. I think I got it all in the first viewing, but I've seen like Force Awakens though, because it's on Stars now. God, I must have seen it like 15 times already.
Man.
Plus the original too, because I'll always if I'm like doing stuff like bagging and boarding or doing some, I'll put that on and watch it.
Oh yeah, that's something else I accomplished this break. I bagged a lot of comics.
Well, there you go.
So I did accomplish that, but I didn't finish accomplishing it. So I needed to finish accomplishing it.
I've been trying to. I got to do some today, I think, to get the table clean. Again, I go on these vacations and it just piles up just because of the sheer quantity of books I get.
Books that are coming in.
And poor Barb, you know, I like get it clean. Like I had it clean right before the break. And then I come back and I have two boxes from DCBS, you know, it's like boom, boom, boom. And it's not easy to recover. It really isn't. Because my process is a long process.
At least you get to scan.
Yeah, the scanning is the fastest part. The hardest is like merging books into the two read boxes and the stuff that's been read. I've almost like given up, not going to merge anymore. It's just too much work. And then I have to come up with the pro. I try to do like semi merges just to keep it somewhat. somewhat in order, but I might do away with it entirely. I have to do it for the ones that I don't read though, 'cause then I lose them. Like, I can't find what I'm looking for. I know I have it. I go to the database. It's there. But I go to the boxes. I'm like, what did I do with it? Is it in this box? This box? It takes too damn long. But anyway, Rogue One gets a thumbs up. I don't think we saw any other movies at the theater since the break. Did you? Are you there, Bill? I think I lost him. It's still recording. Are your mute button? Update your mute button. I can't even hear him.
Hello?
There you are.
That was weird.
Did you lose the punch cards again?
I had to switch punch cards out, and I couldn't find my blanks.
She had to punch them in manually. You what
I
were you like going, okay, said this, so that's 1-0-0-0-1-1-0-0-1.
Wait, no, 0. Oh, son of a bitch.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you at least tried.
I tried. That part of the record, if that part of the recording is screwed up, it's because
You got the ones
the
and
punch
zeros
cards.
all messed up.
My ones mixed up with my zeros.
And you were using a number two pencil to punch holes in it.
Always.
Yeah, it was like doing an old test back in the day when we had to punch holes in it or
Color the
darken in the nut
circle.
color in the circle.
I think they still have those, don't they?
I would think things would be tablet or I don't know. I see a lot of kids with freaking tablets now. So
Don't know.
you have to worry about somebody hacking your homework now instead of your dog eating your homework.
Yeah, someone hacked my homework. I finished it. I bet you they get that a lot. Like, my computer crashed just as I finished it.
So what happened? How come it just like mysteriously just
I have
died?
no idea. I
You
know
were.
my connection went to shit.
Oh,
But I don't
now I
know
know what
why.
it was.
I don't know why it didn't recover, though.
Huh. Your modem is needs to be upgraded. Your 28 point.
No, I'm
You're at 14.4, and you need to at least go to 28.8 or.
28.8. I remember when I went from like 90. I
9.6 or what was
Yeah,
it?
I don't know. I can't remember if it was 96 or 19.2.
Yeah. The old
That was
AOL system, it'd go, or Prodigy, you dial into it.
never had any of those.
You didn't?
No, I didn't use one of the major ones. I think I used like, I think it was like flash.net.
I went to Prodigy was the first one, and then from there I went to AOL.
I don't remember what my parents used. They must have used one of those, because back then I think that's all there was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I do remember I used to go hang out on the bulletin boards back then. Pre-internet, you go to the bulletin board, the BBSs, and
Yeah.
you could
And you
chat too.
and I would do like point to point video gaming too.
Yeah.
Like with Doom. You dial your friend's number and play Doom. I hated that though, 'cause I'd get dizzy, wanna throw up all over. It's like Blair Witch with guns.
You still that way?
Yeah, I don't like
Those games.
if they're not well lit, I hate them. Like I just don't like it. I've never been a first person shooter person. Like I've been like Atari, you know, like when they had Outlaw? That's my kind of game where you got the little cowboys moving up and down and.
Which is Outlaw? I don't think I ever had Outlaw.
You never had Outlaw?
No.
Did you have Warlords
Yeah,
with the paddles?
everyone had Warlords
That
and
was
loved
fun.
Warlords. Warlords is
Warlords
awesome.
was awesome.
You grab the ball and quickly spin and throw it.
Yeah.
Trying to fake
Because
people
your
out.
whole. And if you had four, like four players, it was awesome. Because it was. You could have two player game or four player game or one player game. And it was all about protecting your castle. It was like a breakout game. All it was hitting a ball and trying to block it,
It was
defend
perfect.
your.
Oh, that was a good game because, like, that's a game that wouldn't be improved by improved graphics, you know?
Yeah, it's still gonna offer the same amount of entertainment.
Yeah, it was a perfect game because the graphics didn't really matter. It was the gameplay is.
I used to like the Indy 500, like, because they had different versions of it, and you could play like ice mode. I used to love how the
Oh
cars
yeah,
used to slide.
that sound.
Yeah, because you get the hang of it, like how you needed to turn the corners. You slide your car. Yeah, I have stuff to talk about on the Atari, so I'm glad I brought that up because I watched Atari Game Over.
I saw that. I saw it a while
Yeah.
ago, though. I don't remember all of it.
It
That's the one
was
where they're digging in the dirt.
it was really good. The reasons I liked it is because it gave a little bit of history of Atari, you know, like the rise and fall. But it wasn't the main part of the story. The main part of the story was going to Alamogordo, New Mexico, which I'd been there, so that was cool to see the garbage dump where they I hadn't been to the dump, but I've been to Alamogordo, New Mexico, where Atari or the warehouse that stored all the Atari games buried all their cartridges and joysticks and everything. And for
Holy
some
dick.
odd reason, some guy archived where they buried stuff and they wanted to dig it up and find it. The thing that I really liked about it from, you know, like you do like test and I do software and stuff, I really liked the fact that it showed what companies do. Like it was bizarre because they took one of their best programmers. He did like Yar's Revenge and Raiders of the Lost Ark, which were huge successes, made millions of dollars for Atari. And they took that programmer and kind of like threw him under the bus.
They drove him. They rode him till he broke.
It was a 6 month process to write a game. Like you know, Yar's Revenge took 6 months, so did Raiders and stuff like that. They talked about Adventure. They took a while to write, and he had to do it in 5 weeks. He had to write ET. And then that game was panned so bad, and I guess they lost money on it because people were taking the game back, like they didn't even want it,
They're returning it, yeah.
returning it. And he kind of lost his job because of that. But they didn't say, like, they said ET might have led to like the downfall of Atari, but they also said that it was just bad decisions across the board. Like they invested a lot of money in hardware. And what they didn't realize is everybody already had the systems. You know, if they made like 1 million, you know, 2 million systems, they weren't going to sell anymore if they made another million. Do you know what I mean? They had already cornered the market for how many people had the system.
Oh, so they're putting money into a stock.
They put more money into the hardware. And then their follow-ons, the 5200 and I forget what the other one was, it didn't make it. Like it didn't just didn't succeed.
They had the Jaguar.
Yeah. But at the time the Atari was it was the bomb. I mean, it was like I used to love to play Pitfall, Pac-Man,
Oh yeah,
Space
that was
Invaders,
everything.
Asteroids, Defender, hours of entertainment, combat. Air Sea Battle.
I always like Circus Atari.
Oh, the clowns jumping on the teeter-tarter.
Yeah.
That was fun. And you were
I
popping
love that game.
balloons, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're on a teeter totter popping balloons.
That game actually.
And sometimes you get stuck up on the top and be like.
Yeah, that was awesome. That game was actually went ported, I think. It actually hit the video games first.
Oh,
I
is that a
remember,
port?
yeah. They talked
Yeah, a
about
lot of that
that
stuff was like Missile
the
Command.
documentaries that a lot of them were ports. Those were easier games. Like Yars' Revenge was an original one.
Then I always like this game called Cosmic Swarm.
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember what company put that out. It was like a bigger.
Was this for the Atari or a stand-up?
It's 2600.
Okay.
It was like a little bit of a bigger cartridge. It was a fun game though. I think it might have had like more. I don't know why it was a bigger cartridge. I don't know if they had memory in the cartridge or not, but
Yeah.
it was one. I think it was one of the more advanced games. Like the graphics were.
Yeah,
But
I like Laser Blast. That was one of our first games. I remember we
I
bought
remember
our.
that. I don't remember the gameplay though.
It was a little saucer, and you had to shoot little targets on the bottom, and
Oh, yeah.
all it did was get faster.
Oh,
These
yeah.
were
And then you just shoot
Activision
straight
games.
down?
Yeah, you shoot. Well, you could shoot straight down, or you could shoot diagonal on the with the joystick.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, there's some really good ones.
None of the classics. Space Invaders,
Really
Apache.
like that documentary though.
Combat.
It showed me a lot, like, because
That was interesting, yeah, to see the
it
behind the
was
scenes
well
stuff.
even behind the scenes, but it followed that programmer into different life changes in his life. Like, he left programming totally to go into real estate, and then after real estate, he become like a sociologist therapist. Like, it was just crazy. Do you know what I mean? It was all over the place.
That is strange.
Yeah. I
I guess it
really
was just
that
that he was
picture.
young at the time.
They showed in the documentary, like, when they were first digging, that some kid came up with a joystick. I still think he planted it. He's like, "We think we
I
found the
found
area.
tools.
Look at this piece of joystick."
He just dropped it out of his pocket.
I dropped it out of his
Oh,
pocket.
look what I found.
I think that's what he did.
Let's dig here. I never had that game, E.T. Had a lot of games.
I had E.T., but like I think I played it for 10 minutes and said, "Fuck this." Cause, no, there was a couple games that I had that I hated
Never
those
played.
games, like Adventure. That was when you were a square and you were going around mazes to
Oh,
find
yeah, in the
keys and shit
maze.
like that. I was very impatient if the interaction was me trying to figure shit out.
I think I liked Adventure.
Adventure was a success story. People loved it. It's
Yeah.
actually like a prototype for like Legend of Zelda, isn't
Probably.
it?
Oh yeah, E.T. wasn't one of the problems that it was just too, it was impossible.
Oh yeah, that's what they were talking about. Some of the stages were like Steven Spielberg even played it. Like, he had to approve it. He did
Yeah.
approve it. But it's a weird situation because it's like pat on your back, you know, you did a good job, and then they release it, and it's like, oh God,
You're fired.
who wrote this? You're fired. It
Yeah, they had to have
was
a
also crazy how much
scapegoat.
drugs and alcohol were involved. Did you see that? The Atari headquarters was all about the pot and stuff.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, they're a bunch of hippies,
Yeah. They would work there long hours, like 18 hours a day, and do drugs and drink.
That was
And
the 80s.
the people that would make the money, like there were the guys behind it, would encourage that. Like, they'd bring a truck over of all, oh, you made us $1 million. We're bringing up 5 kegs of beer right away, and then they just get plastered.
And then the
So for
bosses
them, it
are.
was cheap because
I
all
know the
they did
bosses are high-fiving.
buy the pot and the drugs, and And then they're making millions, and they have like the house and everything,
And
right?
they spend a couple $100 on booze and pot.
Yeah.
And the programmers are all excited.
Those guys satisfied and creating ideas, right? Yeah, that was cool. I watched another documentary. I don't know if you watched this one. It was called Superman Lives, The Death of Superman.
No, I didn't even know about that until you posted it. I knew about the failed movie, but I didn't know they had made a documentary.
Well, I would read like magazines like Comic Scene back in the day or whatever, and then I'd get these goofy pictures of Nicolas Cage, and I thought it was just a joke because it looks so stupid.
Although, one of the things I remember about Comic Scene is they would always have like rumors about these upcoming movies,
Oh, it
like
would
always.
spend it's pay like 10 pages of things that were licensed, and you'd see nothing, and then you'd get all excited. Oh yeah,
They'd be so excited. They're
Return of
coming
the
out.
Swamp Thing is gonna make it. I see
They're coming out with a
photos.
Fantastic Four movie. It's gonna be great. We're gonna
Yeah,
make another American flag movie.
well, they would show the Fantastic Four when what's his name did it with
The
that.
Corman version.
Yeah, Roger Corman. I remember they showed the panel. I was like, oh crap, Fantastic Four's coming out, and then it never went to theaters, and you're like, what the
I know
fuck?
none of these. That was the thing. Like none of the movies ever came out. The only one that ever came out was the Batman, Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, Superman. A Swamp Thing. They had Swamp Thing, the
Yeah,
first
Swamp
one,
Thing.
Return of the Swamp Thing, and then the TV show. I even think they had Man Thing. I think Comic Scene went as far as Man Thing. It might not have, but that was like a direct to Sci-Fi Channel thing.
Okay.
But you know what's fascinating about this is what a whack job John Peters is. He's one of the producers for Batman 89.
Okay.
You know, and he worked with Tim Burton. But this all started off with like a lot of Hollywood talk and Kevin Smith, right? So there's a lot of Kevin Smith in this documentary. So Kevin Smith was writing the story, and it was going to be they wanted to do the Death of Superman. Because the Death of Superman was huge. Like, it sold a lot of comics. So they're
Yeah,
like,
it was the big thing at the
we
time.
want a script done, Death of Superman. And Kevin Smith did a script. And then he started talking to people. And then John Peters got a hold of it. And he said, well, God, I want a giant spider in this film. He just started saying crazy shit. So like Kevin Smith would come up with okay, I got a Thanagarian spider. We're gonna fight a Thanagarian spider. And then it eventually kept going back and forth, and he wasn't happy with Kevin Smith's script, so it went to other scripters, and he says, oh, I made a lot of money with Tim Burton, so I'm getting Tim Burton. And then when they start talking to Tim Burton's like, he kind of has these visions, and they're visions that are different, but I think it would have been successful. Do you know what I mean? It was a
Yeah, it
different
would have been a different
version,
take, yeah.
a darker version, but what was amazing is how far they got. Like, they had designed the suit, the regeneration suit that actually brought him back to life, and it looked pretty cool. And Nicolas Cage didn't look that bad until he had the goofy long hair. Like, they were trying to do the goofy long hair thing with him, and he looked like a goober.
Oh,
But,
'cause that's what that was in the comics at the time, right?
yeah. He had that long wavy hair, so they kind of tried to have that there. But you know what was amazing is the art designs. They spent a lot putting together the art designs, and it featured like a crazy metropolis. It looked awesome. And then Krypton looked awesome. And you got to see like what Brainiac would look like. They threw in Brainiac, they threw in Lex Luthor and Doomsday. So it had
Wow.
everybody in there. And the Thanagarian Spider they never got rid of. No, they actually got rid of the Thanagarian Spider and replaced it so like the spider was Brainiac. You know, like he had a head, but he had a spider body. It was really bizarre. You need to see it.
Yeah, I can do that. I think I look. I don't think it's on Netflix though.
I saw it on Showtime. Both of them were on Showtime for some reason. Yeah. It was on Showtime the other day, matter of fact.
Don't have Showtime.
Well, I could tape it for you and put it
Mail
onto
it to me.
DVD.
I'll find it.
I could put it on VHS or reel to reel or reel film, 8mm.
To put it on Betamax, that's fine.
Betamax. I
Those are
thought you
small.
hated Betamax in the punk rock days.
Oh yeah, and knock them over.
Yeah, you'd knock all that shit over. So what is this shit? Why is it trying to be different? We
Don't like
know
things to be
VHS
different.
is. We want bigger tapes. We don't
Bigger
want the
is
small.
better.
Yeah. Anarchy! So what did you get to watch anything?
I did watch. Oh, that's TV. Let me think. Movies. 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 No, not a lot of movies. Thought I watched something. I have to check my records.
I watched a lot of movies, but it was already stuff I saw.
Yeah, I did watch a couple of things that I've already seen. What new things I watched?
I rewatched Juno, and that was that's an amazing film. I really like that film.
Yeah, like Juno.
I just like the way her parents are. Like, she's got the father and she's got the stepmom. And I just like the way they raised her. And just, she thought logically through things. Do you know what I mean? In a crazy situation of high school pregnancy. Ellen Page. And then I rewatched What Women Want.
I haven't seen that in a million years.
That is good. It's almost like a superpower. He gets struck by lightning. He's an advertising guy. He gets struck by lightning and he can hear what women think. So he becomes sensitive to what their thoughts are. And he's got like a daughter and he's divorced and he learns about his daughter. And then Helen Hunt's in it. And Marissa Tomei. Which I love Marissa Tomei. And that's Mel Gibson is the main character. But that's about all that I remember watching. And then I saw like that Star Wars movie about it a gazillion times.
I did see. I saw a couple of kids' movies. I saw the BFG.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the Big Friendly Giant.
Ah.
That's like a Roald Dahl.
Was that a theater-based one or no?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg, it says.
Oh.
I don't know how it did in the theaters. It wasn't. I remember
I
when it
didn't
was in the
hear
theaters.
them talk about it a lot.
I don't think it did that well in the theaters.
Well, was it good?
It was all right.
Stereotypical type?
No, it was. It
Little different.
was about this girl gets captured by this giant, and then. But he's a good giant, and then the bad giants find out about that this one giant has a human, and they want to eat the kid because they eat humans. It was good, though. Good effects. It was a good story. I mean, it's definitely geared towards kids, so. That was one of my movies that I watched while I was bagging comics.
Oh. And what else? What you said there was a couple kids movies or
Yeah, what was the other kids movie was Storks.
I didn't hear that one either.
Man, you are like so out of it when it comes to kids movies, man.
I am. I know a movie called Pets came out like that.
Life of Pets.
Yeah, Life of Pets.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the theater. Yeah, Storks is about. Let's see. So it's about storks. Like storks used to deliver babies, but then they stopped delivering babies, and now they just deliver packages like Amazon.
Yeah.
But then there's a girl. Oh, one of the babies they were unable to deliver, and she's now living with the storks, and then she ends up. They get a letter requesting a new baby, and she puts it into the system, so the system creates a new baby for the first time in, 20 years or 10 years. And then they have to deliver this baby, so it was actually pretty good.
Is it one of those 3D cartoon type things, like Pixar?
No, it was just animated. Well, yeah, kind of like a Pixar, I guess.
Did you watch any grown-up movies?
I don't know if I watched any grown-up movies. I watched some grown-up TV shows, but I don't think I watched any grown-up movies.
What TV shows did you watch?
I watched Sense8 was my latest.
Sense8?
Sense8 on Netflix, a Netflix original. That's the one that's by J. Michael Straczynski and the Wachowskis.
Really? Is it something current?
Yeah, it just came. It was just last year.
I heard JMS became sort of blind. Like legally blind or something.
Yeah, I remember, I forgot about that. Yeah, I believe that is the case. He's losing his vision.
And I think that's what made him stop doing comics, or he said he's not going to do comics, but he'll work on the other stuff, I think.
So he'll do movies and stuff.
Novels and movies and.
So I guess that makes sense, because if he does comics, he can't enjoy the end product.
Yeah,
he can't see how it's realized, but movies.
But if you're writing, you could write or
a book.
Auto type. He could auto tape it.
And yeah, a book would be no problem. He could do a book easy. Anyway, so yeah, Sense8. It was fantastic. 5 out of 5.
How many episodes is this thing?
Like about 10 episodes, and then they just released a episode like last week, which I haven't watched yet. And then season two, I don't know when season two starts.
What is the premise of this thing?
So the premise, it starts out kind of weird. Like it's hard to understand at the very beginning, but you quickly pick it up. But the general premise is that there's these 8 people in the world who are connected. And they're able to remotely visit one another, and when they visit one another, they like take over the person's body. So the way it works is, say we were connected, like we were Sense8s in the same tribe. I could like jump into your body and I'd be able to use my abilities through you. So say I was like a Taekwondo guy, right?
Yeah.
And you were like in a bad situation. I could jump into your body and then use my Taekwondo to beat people up.
It's like Dead Man.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's kind of so like a possession type thing. But in your eyes,
but does he gain the abilities of the person? That...
No, once they leave, you don't have the abilities anymore.
Oh, so you only have the abilities of whatever you had before.
Right. You don't gain anything.
Ah, do the people that you jump into, do they remember what happened?
Yeah, everyone remembers, because when I jump to you, in your eyes you see me.
Yeah,
and so, we could talk to each other.
So if you were to jump into my body, what abilities would you give me?
I would give you
Trick question? Trick question? Do you want like a multiple choice option or what?
I would complete writing
The guesser?
the guesser, yes.
You'd give me a form of completion for writing
That's right.
ability.
You if you you'd be sitting there in front of your computer being like, "Oh, what should I have? I need to work on this." Now I can jump into your body and be like, "Here, I'll do it for you, Mike."
Then you'd finish it and fuck it up. You'd fuck up my vision.
I'd be like, "There it is, perfect." And you'd be like, "Son of a bitch, you ruined it."
What is this shit? Sounds cool. What does it take place in current time or future?
It's current time, and so there's a couple cool things about it. One is that these eight people live in different parts of the world, so
Yeah.
you get to see like, and so far in the story, most of the people are still in their parts of the world and they just visit each other remotely, but you get to see all these different places in the world, like one's in, I can't remember what country, but somewhere in Africa. One girl's in like, where did she start? I think England. And there's one guy in Chicago. There's a woman in, I think it was India or maybe Bangladesh. But anyway, so there's different parts of the world. There's one guy who he's in. God damn it! What country is he in? I think he might be in. Is he in Mexico? He might be in Mexico, but he's like an actor, like a telenova type actor.
Oh, like
But
Eric
he's,
Estrada.
yeah. And all of them have like secrets and stuff. And there's lots of, oh, and one, the one woman, I think she's in, I think San Francisco, but she's a trans woman. And then they have one guy is gay. So they have like a good variety of people.
Yeah.
And from different cultures and stuff. It's just really, it's really well done. It was, I loved it. So, and it's exciting too, because you know there's a bad force that's coming after them to try and kill them. So they're trying to, and there's one, the one dude in Africa drives a, is really into Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like his hero.
Yeah. So he'd love that Amazon show if it ever comes out.
He would. Yes, he was probably very excited. Of
Yeah.
course, too bad that one's on Netflix and one's on Amazon. Otherwise,
Yeah, a cross promotion right
he
there.
could have talked about it. Did you see the new show?
Yeah.
Available now on streaming.
Haven't heard of this. I am so far behind in like looking at Netflix and stuff.
All the new show, yeah, all
Yeah,
the.
because even the documentaries, I think one of them, Atari was on the Netflix, but I didn't even watch them on Netflix. I just saw them on Showtime. One of them Barb recorded for me like a long time ago, and then the other one I just saw halfway through, and I said, "Oh, I'll find out when it's showing next because this looks interesting." Oh, we did see two other movies real quick. We saw Bad Moms.
Okay.
Wasn't as funny as I expected it to be, but it was a good movie. And it's kind of like a mother that's overworked, whose marriage is going away and stuff, and just decides to enjoy herself for a while. Yeah, because the whole school's run by the PTA, which is Christina Applegate, Will Smith's wife, and I don't know who the other
Wait, is
lady
this in the
is.
theaters?
No, it's on DVD now.
I think I saw this movie. It sounds very familiar. What's it called? Bad
Bad
Moms?
Moms. It's
I
with
remember
the
something about
girl.
PTA.
What is that? It's the 70s show. It's from the 70s show. The one of the actresses is the main character.
Oh, yeah, Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn's in it. Kristen Bell. I saw this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's her face is a real bitch.
Christina Applegate, yeah.
This movie didn't really leave an impression on me, though, because I don't remember how it ended.
It ended that she got back with her husband, I think. Oh, no, she didn't get back with her husband. She got there was another divorcee husband that – a widower.
Oh, the guy kept walking by or whatever.
Barb's coming on the show to help the assist.
Old people.
Too much white in our brains. Little white spots.
The movie went into the white spot in my brain.
Yeah. Bad Moms, it went into the white spot. The white spot part of my brain. And then there was another. Oh, Neighbors 2.
I did not see that one.
Did you see Neighbors 1?
I don't know if I ever saw Neighbors 1. I think I did.
Neighbors 1 I enjoyed. Neighbors 2, I enjoyed scenes, but I don't think I enjoyed the movie. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It was like regurgitating the previous movie, but with a sorority.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a couple of good scenes, but it really, they had already burned a lot of the humor in the first one, and they didn't change it much.
Yeah, so it just felt like a rehashing of the same.
And I wanted to see that one at the theater at the time because I liked the first one. You know, I laughed a lot at the first one. But Target has this thing where you can get, like, free stuff if you buy stuff there. One of the things is you could get free movie that's $19 or less. So I got those two movies for free.
Nice. Now you can watch it whenever you want.
Bad Moms, I may watch again at some point. Neighbors 2, I'm not so sure. And it has a Chloe, what's her name? Martinez? Marquez? What is her name, Barb? She doesn't know either. Chloe fell into Barb's white part of her brain.
The white spots.
Yeah, the white spot in her brain.
What's she from, Chloe?
She's a hit girl.
Oh, Chloe Mortez or something?
Yeah. I could have just typed Chloe on Twitter because I follow her.
I'm going to type in hit girl.
Hit girl. She was in The Fifth Wave too, but I haven't seen that yet.
She was in the remake of that. Vampire movie.
Which one?
Wasn't she?
Well,
Let the Right One In, or.
Oh, yeah, she was. She was in that movie. The original's so much better, though. I don't know why. It just.
Grace Moretz. Yeah. And I have another. Oh, she was in the Carrie movie, which I never saw the remake.
Barb, did we see the remake of Carrie? I thought we did. Barb says we... Maybe. Man, that fell into the white part of our pants, too. No, we didn't watch it.
Okay. Our brains are very particular now, because they know there's only a certain amount of information we can store, so... dumb shit, it just forgets. It's like Carrie. I don't need to put that in. Neighbors 2, that does not need to go in long-term storage.
Carrie, the original, though, I remember all of it. Matter of fact, we saw some of it just recently with John Travolta and Sissy Spacek.
Classic.
Yeah, classic film.
I do have the Visit on DVD. I have not watched yet.
Oh, God! I thought you watched that.
No,
that's the M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's good. We have to talk about that
with you. Too bad I should have watched it.
Oh, man, that is some crazy shit. I actually find that movie terrifying. And I love when movies are, like, surprise me to get scared, you know? I mean, there's horror movies that are entertaining, and then there's horror movies that have an element of That freaks my shit, you know?
Yeah, creepiness.
And I think The Visit is PG-13.
I believe it is.
And it's, like, really good horror.
Sometimes that's better because it forces you to work in a different way. Like, you can't just do a gory, you know,
yeah,
jump scare.
We need to talk about this when you see it. I could have sworn we did.
We might have talked about it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, God. I just watched it again, at least the tail end of it, just turning onto it on one of the movie channels, and I was like, God, that's a good movie.
Well, I have to watch it now. Now I'm excited to see it.
Well, I hope you have the appreciation for at least four or five of the concepts they introduce that I found unique and scary. I mean, I found them scary. What you find scary and what I find scary might be totally different.
It could be different.
I found Idiocracy a horror movie.
Yeah, that could be.
That's turned into reality.
Scary given the current state of things. Hang on a second. I go check on my kid.
All right. I'm going to pause this. Pause for the cause. I'm unpaused.
Mike, you should have a breakfast burrito.
I think I will. How did you predict that? Do you have mutant abilities?
Muted myself. Son of a bitch.
Metahuman.
I have Eastern Pacific.
That's what I should have bought you for Christmas, is a a new headset. That doesn't have the mute button right at your crotch.
I have a good headset. It's just, has a very big mute button.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's easy to poke.
It's very easy to poke.
Is it a mute button that's not a switch? In other words, it just you push it in and it goes mute?
Yeah, it's just the big button. It's a big, huge button.
Oh.
Like, as big as a quarter.
Where's the button located?
On the cord.
Where's the cord on your body?
It's not a cord is not on my body. The cord just goes. It's just the cord.
It hangs, but you're hitting it on something. Right, so hang. What are you hitting the button with?
I don't know. It just gets hit. Like
with what? With what part of your body?
It could be anything.
Barb says she doesn't want to know.
I don't want to get too explicit, but.
We are explicit tags. You can't tell us this. What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
Oh, you had a dream.
I had a nightmare. I had a dream. I had a dream that... So it was... it was 9... It was like 9:36... And I was getting ready to go to the store, and I was about to leave, but suddenly I realized I had to podcast.
Oh, you were getting ready to go eat.
I was going to go leave when I was supposed to podcast.
What were you going to go to get at the store?
I don't know. I don't remember. I think I was going to Target.
This wasn't a dream. This was reality.
Oh. Oh. Oh, yeah. I was just really high. Listen, I was not high. It was a dream.
What the hell were we talking about before you left? Oh, The Visit. Thank you, Barb.
Yeah, I need to see The Visit.
Okay. So any other TV shows that you watched?
I'm on season 6 of Game of Thrones.
Ah.
Season 6 now. That show is crazy. I love it.
How many episodes are in a season?
I don't know, maybe 12.
Ah. It's not too bad of an investment then, like if to catch up.
Yeah. Now, the only problem with that show is that you like want to watch the next one right away because something crazy always happens at the end.
Yeah.
Every episode.
I'm getting caught up on... We finished some TV show, but I don't remember what it was. What? Modern Family. Oh, Modern Family, but I thought there was another one. We... Oh, Preacher. We finished Preacher.
I need to watch that.
I
But what's
that
that
was
on?
that was one
Showtime?
AMC.
AMC.
That was one that started off really slow, and I kind of lost sort of little bit of interest, and then we went back and watched it from like episode 4, and we got addicted.
So it picks up at some point.
Well, for me, it did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not boring. It just was a little slow. And I usually go on the elliptical and watch stuff. I like to watch a show that makes me not think of that I'm on the elliptical.
Where you transcend your physical experience.
Yeah. So what else? That was Game of Thrones.
I think that's it for.
Do you want to mention any of it?
Nah.
Or are you afraid of spoiling it?
I don't want to spoil anything. It's just crazy. A lot of people die on that show. It's cool. I usually don't watch the extras because I get the DVDs from the library and I usually don't have time to watch any of the extras. But I did watch one little thing that was talking about, I don't remember what aspect it was, but George R. R. Martin was talking about like some
Do you
of
know
the
he lives in Santa Fe?
really.
Yeah. Do you know that George R. Martin was in the Atari Game Over documentary?
Documentary. I didn't
Yep.
remember. I didn't remember that.
The one guy that was going, that was kind of the nerd, stopped at his place and and got some stuff before he went to the dump where they were.
What do you borrow a shovel from or something?
I guess he did. The Game of Thrones shovel.
I need a pickaxe. An official one. But anyway, he was talking about where he got a lot of the ideas from. And I mean, anyone who's read the books probably already knows this, but a lot of the stuff he got from like actual history, and he just took like cool stuff from history and like combined it all together and put it in this fantasy world. So he was talking about like different scenes from the show and like what where he got them from in history, like which English king that was about and
Yeah.
what event that was and things.
Are you watching this on live at the library rentals or?
Yeah, just
Yeah.
library. Yeah, 'cause I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
Just HBO probably.
Yeah, HBO Go or whatever. So that's about it for the that I can remember, other than the usual stuff. But a lot of the shows are on hiatus now, so.
Well, I'm eating some brunch.
How is your burrito?
It's delicious.
Your geekerito.
My geekrito.
Oh my gosh, the stack of comics I have on my desk here is reaching the ceiling.
Let's jump into it. So this is Shark Week.
Hang on a sec.
Oh, he doesn't have his Shark comics, so he has to go away for a while.
Gotta go check on something. I'll be right
Oh,
back.
okay. Good. We're gonna talk about Shark Week then.
Shark Week. Okay, let me. I'm going through. I have this gigantic stack of comics on my desk. This is ridiculous. I need to. Because every time I pile up the stuff I want to read, talk about on the show, and then I just let the pile grow and grow and grow. And it's so enormous. Where the heck are my shark comics? That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. This I just needed to read. I haven't read this. That and then Emily was gone. Free comic book day comic.
Oh yeah?
I need to read that.
Did you not get it? Did you not order it?
No, I got it. I just haven't never got around to reading it. Well, because I
Yeah,
wanted to
but
read it.
it's already finished.
I wanted to read it after I read and Emily was gone.
Why?
Because I think it's like it came out. I think it's.
Did you read the whole Is Emily Gone series?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like a not in the trade. It wasn't in the main in the regular series. It's like an offshoot story. Okay, I think I let me see. Sharks. White. I have white.
Atoll
I have A-hole.
and Hookjaw.
And Hookjaw. For some reason, a bunch of shark books came out in the same month. I don't know
Yeah.
why. Well, and it's funny because Atoll or Atoll, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Atoll was solicited about six times
Well, it was solicited with
different publishers.
Heavy Metal was the first one, and then it didn't come out, and then they resolicited it with Heavy Metal, and then it didn't come out, and now it's Creative Mind Energy or something like that.
Big picture, yeah, CME.
Big Picture is the sub imprint, though.
Okay, so creative,
Creative Mind
Creative
Energy.
Mind Energy. Which interesting, the author of this book, Tim Daniel, is the production manager of Big Picture Comics.
Is Big Picture a movie? Does it have a movie thing?
I don't know what you mean by that.
A
The book?
connection.
Oh, I don't know. I know nothing about it.
Like 451 is connected to James Cameron, right?
Oh, I see
That's,
what you're
or
saying.
not James Cameron, one of those guys. The guy who does Transformers, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who owns Creative Mind Energy.
They have that imprint, Big Picture, and they have Vault. I don't know if you noticed in the latest previews, but there's some Vault comics
Well, I
that look
noticed,
interesting.
yeah, at the back of Atoll, they have a preview, or not a preview, but covers of a couple Vault comics. Heathen and Fissure. I'm sure I ordered both of them.
I ordered both.
I remember Fissure. That's about, like, somewhere in Mexico or something, a fissure opening in the ground, and there's, I guess they go down into it and find
Yeah.
other people. Find creatures or people or something. Heathen, I'm not sure what that's about. Looks good though. And then we have a toll. Here, we'll go through the. And then we have White from Devil's Due by Dan Schaefer.
That one, well, I want to talk about. There's White. Did we talk about Hookjaw yet?
No, and there's
That's another one.
Hookjaw from Titan by
Yeah.
Simon Spurrier.
And he's probably the more well-known one.
Yes, he's the, I would say he's the biggest name in any of these books. For his fine work on The Crust.
Yeah, well, he's done a
Other
lot too for Marvel.
things. Other things.
So, I'm going to ask you this because I think we're going to be different on this. I really do. I'll be shocked if we're the same.
Interesting.
Which one was your favorite?
I think my favorite was Atoll.
Really? Man, we are on the opposite ends of the spectrum on this one, for sure.
Interesting.
That's my least favorite.
Interesting.
My most favorite is White.
That was my second favorite.
And then Hookjaw is my second, and then Atoll.
Hookjaw is my third favorite.
So I'm
So
going to
we,
tell you why I
interesting,
thought
interesting.
White was my favorite.
Let's
So
do it.
White is about.
Well, so the other interesting thing is, so these are all about sharks, but they're all different concepts.
Right. And the White is an artist and writer, right? It's the same guy,
Yes.
correct?
Yeah, and this guy's done other stuff because I've seen his name in previews before, but it was always for like original graphic novels, so I never got any of his stuff because I wasn't willing to like go in sight unseen on a $25 trade, you know?
Yeah.
So I was glad to get a chance to see his stuff in a single issue.
Well, I want to tell you why I liked White so much. I've read White 1 and 2. I'm going to tell you what I don't like about White.
Okay.
The only thing that I don't like about is the price point.
No shit.
It's $4.99.
That's struck that's a, me
that's
as well.
That's a big deal.
It is.
And I've noticed that Devil's Due is doing that with a few of their titles. Like half of them are $4.99. And I've pretty much turned down a lot of offerings because of that price point.
Mm-hmm.
Even with discount. But I was at the time I wanted a shark book and I knew they had canceled Atoll. So I said, you know what? It's $4.99. I'm going to try it anyway. And I didn't expect much. I expect like a Jaws or the film that just came out, Hollow Reef or whatever the heck the thing was called. Shallow
Beach.
The Shallows.
The other one with the girl on the rock?
Yeah, it's the one with the girl on the rock. Yeah.
This reminded me of that a lot.
This one didn't remind me of that because I thought this one was totally original. And let me tell you why. Because the horror is not the shark. The horror is the guys on the other end of the phone. They're idiots.
They are idiots.
Oh, my God. It's scary. It's like if you're calling 911 for help. And you get a bunch of dummies on the other end.
And they forward you to voicemail.
Yeah, they forward you to voicemail. They do all this crap. You finally get a hold of somebody, and it's the scientists who have tagged and marked these sharks. And they are like scientists like Beavis and Butthead. And the reason I say that is because they both – one's a female, one's a male. And they have different – instructions. Like one of them is being like conservative, like, you know, are you on your period, don't enter the water, do this, stay on the wing. And the other one's like, shit, there's no way we can get to you in time, I know these sharks, they're violent, you're gonna need to do X, Y, and Z. And when it all comes down to it, she has to make decisions based on these two people telling her extremely different things. Imagine the stress. That's what I find to
which
be
the trust, yeah.
The horror element. I mean, the shark is just the way how you're gonna die. The two people. It's scary that two scientists can't come to the same conclusion.
Arguing about what she should do, yeah.
Yeah, and that is what is terrifying. And it even gets bigger in issue two, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe she did that, but. It's intense. It is totally intense. And I think the art is beautiful.
Yeah, I did like the art in it.
It's like a painted, realistic style. Mm-hmm. The sharks look great. The girl looks great. A plane crashes in the middle of the ocean. They are like a film type crew where they have the actors and the extras. This girl is like one of the extras. She's not a big deal.
Is she an extra or an assistant? I thought she was
an assistant or an extra or something. Yeah. But she's not anybody that anybody cares about. Because she even gets a hold of, in the first issue, the producer, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
something
she's like
that.
He doesn't believe anything she's saying. She says, put the actor on, and he's dead already. So, like, the plane crashes into the water. And everybody on this film dies except for her. And she's on the wing of the plane trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And she's on her period, which there's blood in the water. So.
Well, I thought she was not. But that's a minor point. I thought the blood was just from the dead guy.
It's distinctive. And they even go on that with issue two. Okay. So, man, that book was intense. So let's go to your your number one, which is Atoll, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with the one that we put in the middle.
Okay. And I gave White 4 out of 5, so I did enjoy it. I think actually I might have given Atoll 4 out of 5 as well, but I liked it just a little bit more because of the concept.
I gave White a 5 out of 5 just because they scared me. The people, it was like, oh my God, there were so many phone calls made on the sat phone, and it was just bad
idea. Yeah, just unable to get help.
Idea. Yeah. It scared me. That was the scary element. So let's jump to Atoll. So I'll set the scene up for us.
Yeah, so this is written by Tim Daniel with art by Ricardo Drummond. So this starts out, there's a couple out at sea, and you find out that the guy is like a rich computer guy. So he created like an app that
Steve Jobs kind of guy, except it's an app.
Yeah, he created an app and sold it for billions of dollars or whatever.
Or like Facebook guy.
Actually, was this the one where the app he created, like, if you have a decision to make, you put in what your options are, and it'll tell you, like, based on its database, which decision you should make. So basically it makes your decisions for you.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, hey, that's a good idea for an app. So he's done this, and then he's dating this, she's an athlete / model, so she's like a Olympic athlete, but she's also really hot, so she's a model too. So they're like a star couple, mm-hmm. and they go missing at sea, and back in the real world, no one knows what happened to them. They were sailing across the world, like on his yacht or something. So what actually happened to them is that they were captured by, we don't know who these people are yet, but they're people who televise shark versus human fights.
Yeah.
Which I think is a cool concept. So I liked it because of the...
It's like one of those survivalist type things where they capture humans and put them
in... Yeah, so these humans are captured and they're going to... Not only do they have to contend with the sharks, they have to contend with these people who are... forcing or who have kidnapped them. So
yeah,
and I like that, and I like the art in it as well. I thought it was
it was solid,
and there's penis in it too, so
there is,
and sharks, they cover them in the dudes in blood.
That's right, they put them naked in the water with nothing but like a knife or something, right? Yeah,
they take a knife in the water and have to fight the shark.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know why it was my least favorite, but maybe it's because I read a lot of those books like that are survivalist type things where people are hunting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it falls in.
Like Bloodshot Island, that just came out. It's similar, so maybe it didn't shock me. The only thing different here is it's not a human hunting you or an entity, it's a shark. In Bloodshot Island, it's Deathmate. So
the last one is Hookjaw.
Hookjaw. The one thing I didn't like about this book, and it's weird that I'm saying that because it usually doesn't bother me, is the mouth on that lead scientist.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
It was too excessive. Like,
it was annoying.
it was really annoying because it like took away like a lot what I thought from the story. Like, I wouldn't have mind like them put a few cuss words in, like was just trying to get a point across. But her mouth was just
it's like every other word.
Every word was like it was bad.
Bleeped. It'd be like if you're watching a movie and it was like the bleep bleeping bleep bleep. It was just come on, just let her talk.
But this one, the premise is pretty cool because it is an older female scientist that has a foul mouth, and she's on the ship, and she's got two other scientists with her. One is a male and one is a female. And they're trying to discover the group or the how great whites would
their social
yeah, be social with each other, how they would communicate with each other and do certain things, because they're trying to,
they wanted to see if there was like a, would be a leader of the group.
Right, they're trying to prove a thesis essentially, right, that they do have a leader and they do stick together, whereas before they're thought to just be like they'll go out on their own. And what happens is, you know, they're trying to they've tagged like three female sharks and they know about these sharks, and they're trying to do their patterns, and but their ship, their main ship, is invaded by Somalian pirates. And the lead scientist is like, don't worry about them, they always do this, we just got to go through steps A through Z.
Yeah, well, they say that we don't have anything valuable on the ship, and we're not worth kidnapping, so just let them come on and do their thing, and then they'll leave.
Not only that, I have a mouthful of food in my mouth, like a shark. But,
You're talking about the kid?
Yeah, the kid is their communication kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a kid who, like, I think he worked. He's the cook or something on the ship.
They hire, yeah.
Yeah, but he's Somali, so he's talking to the pirates when they come on, which is funny because
he doesn't always say what they say.
Yeah, he's not saying what he's like friends with the pirates, but he doesn't tell the women that, or the scientists that.
Yeah. But it actually seems like the lead scientist is right. The pirates are gonna take what they can if they have anything, which they don't, and then leave, go about their business,
Another ship.
But the U.S. Navy SEALs are also in the area to stop pirates, so they come aboard the ship and start killing the pirates, which causes them to capture the lead scientist, and all hell breaks loose from there. Plus, they realize that some of the Navy SEALs didn't report back. And there's a fourth entity, just like they thought, you know, in their social mechanisms, and it's a larger shark than the other three great whites. So I liked it. I thought it was good. The cussing was a little too. The cussing doesn't usually bother me at all, but it just seemed like it took away from what her message was.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, and the other interesting thing was it seems like the main shark, like we can see like the main shark's thoughts.
Yeah, that was weird. The beginning of the book.
Yeah, because it starts out it's this dude in the ocean, and you can see these like. Like these words in the ocean, and you don't know where they're coming from.
I thought it was the guy at first, but then we know it's the shark at the end.
Yeah, it's the apparently there's an intelligent shark.
But I think it's just I think it's that sharks really communicate. Isn't that what we're supposed to get? They really do talk to one another.
Yeah.
Like we see English, but it's not English. It's however they communicate, right?
Yeah, it's whatever their communication is.
So that was the three books. All good.
The shark books. Yeah, I enjoyed them all.
Did you give any a 5 out of 5? Did you give Atoll a 5 out of 5?
No, that was a 4 out of 5.
Are you going to pursue all three and trade if they do come out and trade?
What will I get trade? I will get... I don't know. For sure, I'll get Atoll. I'll probably get White. Hookjaw, I guess I'll have to decide. I wonder how it would have read if that woman wasn't swearing so much.
It would have read better, I think.
Yeah. And it was like bleeped out with swearing, too.
Yeah.
So it's just like symbols. So,
I wish they would have just said what the word is.
Yeah, probably, I know, because whenever they don't tell you what the word is, you always pause for a second because you're trying to figure out like what the word
Yeah, and
is.
then you replace it with whatever you think is there, like fuckhead or fucktard or shit or bitch or cocksucker. You know, I'm just...
Yeah, cocksucker. Sometimes I put those in.
Yeah. All
so
right.
Yes, I agree on that. And I knew that's what you were going to say, too, because that was a stumbling point for me as well.
I'm surprised you thought I was going to say that, though, because of the way I am. Normally, that wouldn't bother me at all.
If it was actual swear words, it would have been fine.
But it was, even if it was swear words, it was like she couldn't even get a complete sentence out with two swear words in the sentence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was literally everything.
It was excessive cussing. It was like Tourette's syndrome, man.
Yeah. It was literally every sentence. There's at least one or two expletives in it. Too much. It was too much swearing. And we do not like swearing on this show.
Fuck no.
Oh, that reminds me of another movie. I watched Wanderlust again because I love that movie.
That's got dick in it, too.
It does have dick in it.
That guy never wears clothes.
Joe Trilio or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It's so hilarious.
I don't think I love it as much as you, but I like it.
Love it. I love titties.
And dick.
Can't remember there's like one line. The one dude is like, "Everyone knows I love titties." Everyone knows I love titties.
All right. So what else we got? Mosaic?
Sure, Mosaic. From Marvel Comics.
I don't know much about this writer or the artist. It doesn't ring a bell.
Where the hell's the...
Well, it's Thorne and Randolph, but I don't know what their first name is.
Was the Indicia?
Jeffrey Thorne and Kari Randolph, and Kari is spelled weird. It's Khary. Kahari? I don't know.
Oh, here we go. So, Jeffrey Thorne is a veteran of television and animating writing. So he was doing Marvel animated stuff. And Kari Randolph did Tech Jacket.
That's for Image. That was a Robert Kirkman property.
Yeah, his name is familiar, so I think I've come across his name. I like the art, though.
Yeah,
I like this book a lot.
I like the art better when it was basketball.
Yeah, it's very good at dynamic art.
Yeah, it was really good doing the sports and stuff, even the steals, but I didn't care for it when he was actually empowered with the Terrigen Mist. The art.
Yeah.
Because it became like darker and not as, I don't know. It has like a weird style, like what was that? Overground Comics. There was one of the female books.
The Graduate?
Yeah, it reminded me of
I didn't that. Get that. It is an exaggerated style.
It reminds me of that for the limbs and stuff.
I think it's a cross between that and like Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, I would agree.
So kind of like an exaggerated, a little bit, slightly exaggerated style.
Yeah.
So this is about a basketball player, like a star, like a Michael Jordan, right?
Or LeBron James. I like to use LeBron James because I don't like him and he's an asshole.
Was this guy an asshole?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was kind of... Yeah, he thought he was the...
He thought he was the entire team.
Oh, yeah, because his teammates were like...
Yeah.
Challenging him, and he was like, "Hey, you'd be nothing without me." It's like, you guys sucked before I came along, and now we have like 5 championships.
Yeah.
If I leave, you guys
are not. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate messages for saying that about LeBron, but I just don't like it.
All you said was you don't like him.
No, I think he's closer to LeBron than Michael Jordan is what I said. Because he's a jerk.
And then he's at a party, and the Terrigen Mist comes by. And he ends up being affected by it. And he goes into a cocoon for quite some time, right?
Yeah.
And when he comes out, he finds he has a strange ability where he is able to, when he touches or comes near people, he's able to, does he take over their bodies?
It's like a dead man thing.
Or he merges with them or something.
He takes over.
Yeah. Oh, he does take over. That's right.
Yeah. It's like a dead man, but seems then, like he retains their abilities.
Right. When he goes on to the next person, he
still
has
that's what's different. It actually has to do kind of like between Dead Man and the TV show that you were talking about.
Although that one, they don't retain the, it's kind of like the liquor a little bit, but not as, not as cool.
Yeah. The liquor, but
the liquor doesn't take over a person's body.
No, he just licks it, over whatever their abilities or skills.
Yeah, he licks the person's body.
So if I licked Bill, I would be able to finish my comic book.
You would. You'd be able to finish. And if I licked you, I would
not finish your comic book.
I would suddenly own a lot of comics.
A lot of fucking comics. And you say, like, what is this going to cause?
Suddenly there would be
I don't have any room for this.
In every room
my wife
house.
Is leaving me. My kids are leaving me.
If I licked Mike, my kitchen would be full of comics.
That's right.
You hear my children out there?
Yeah, they're playing.
I hope so. Otherwise, they're killing each other. Once again.
You have snow outside?
Not melted. We just have a little bit left. So I liked Mosaic. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I enjoyed it.
I like the Inhuman stuff a lot, so I was predispositioned to like it.
Yeah.
We have No Angel.
No Angel.
From Black Mask.
This is a Friday Night Lights spinoff.
Adriana Palicki and Eric Palicki. Is that her brother or husband?
I believe it's her husband.
Okay.
But if not, I apologize, Adrian. Call me and I will profusely apologize to you. I'll take you out to dinner.
I'll take you out to dinner.
To make up for error.
I'll treat you to wine and
there's a wine and dine.
And dine you.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
From the kids' menu.
Anything that's below $10.
That's right. You can have anything you want as long as it's under $11.
And a drink.
One drink. No dessert. So no angel. And the main woman in the story kind of looks like Adrian a little bit.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Put yourself in the book. So she's the one who was in the war, right?
Yeah.
She fought in, it was like Afghanistan or something?
Yeah. It actually shows her saving one of her teammates because he's under a sniper fire. He got shot already. They're trying to draw her out with the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was trapped, and then she said, lay some cover and all. I'll come over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she ran over and grabbed them and saved them.
But when she gets back, she's in the, what do you call it, was she FBI or CIA? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember which.
She's with FBI or CIA. And what happens is she goes back to this town because her father and brother were murdered. And she has to figure out why are they murdered. And she's also not in good spirit. What do you call it? In good talking with her mom. Like they had a falling out of some sort.
Yeah, so it's the what's it called? Prodigal daughter who's coming back into town because her not only were her brother and father killed, but she's also whatever, an agent or whatever. And she can't officially work on the case, but she's gonna obviously try and help the local police out any way she can.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's just a cop. I don't know. I don't remember what she is. Oh, here we go.
No, she's a FBI. CIA. FBI, yeah. She knows a cop. The cop in town is an old high school friend.
Right.
So she's not supposed to be there, like, on business or whatever, but because of the situation, he's a good friend.
Yeah, he lets her tag along.
He's letting her tag along and showing her the crime scene and all this. And then during the funeral service, or what, the get together after the funeral, a strange woman comes up to her and says she wants to talk to her, and she lets her know that she knew the father very well, intimately well.
Yeah, she's been sleeping with the father for years.
Yeah, for years. So she's abrasive at first. You know, our main female character is like, "You've been fucking my father for this long. Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you." But then she learns more, that she knows more about what could have happened. And it turns out that her father and her mother, I think, might be lineages of angels. Is that what you get?
Yeah, she...
I mean, not her real mother. Her father and this other woman have lineages to angels.
Yeah, because I think that she's drinking with the woman, right? And then the woman tells her,
yeah,
that she reads in the Bible that the Nephilim or whatever were descended from angels.
Yeah, and they actually say, "I'd like to meet your sister." Because the father actually had another daughter with this other woman, and she takes her into the room, and that her sister has wings. And that's how it ends. So it starts off like really procedural. Plus the villains in this, they have like creepy spider like
spiders coming out of their eyes.
Eyes and stuff. Matter of fact, that was like something she noticed at the crime scene. She saw a spider.
Yeah, spiders, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it starts out, she's this FBI agent coming back to her small town to investigate the murder of her father, and then it twists into, I don't know, perhaps she's descended from an angel. From angels, so.
Yeah.
It's good. Black Mask.
Yeah, I like the procedural part. I'm not sure what it's going to turn into.
But where it's going to go from here.
Yeah. I like religious stuff a lot, you know? But I don't know how it's going to get into that. The other thing I found really interesting is the previews for... Did you read them?
No, I never read the previews.
The dreg sounds pretty freaking disgusting. It's like they kill people and then eat them and then make like bratwurst and stuff. That looks really weird. The other one is a God Killer one, which I really love because they've done God Killer. That was the first Black Mass title released in a post-apocalyptic world, and I dig that stuff, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I actually got a couple of the God Killer collections.
And on the back, they have that Kim and Kim thing, which is the one I didn't like. This was... I can't remember the author. It doesn't even have the name on here. But why this is important is the person that writes this is trans. Transsexual.
Transgender.
Transgender. And the interesting thing in the news lately is Matt Sturgis is now Lila Sturgis.
I saw that.
Yeah, and...
I don't know if it's in the news, but...
Well, it's in the news. It's in the Twitters and Facebook. Social media, yeah. Social media. It's like released.
Yeah, he just announced it, right?
Bleeding Cool. It's probably about 4 days old, maybe 5 days old.
Or she, I should say she.
She announced it, Lila Sturgis. But why I mentioned it is because the author of Kim and Kim, I guess, helped with that situation. Helped Matthew become.
Okay, helped him Lila. Figure out how to.
Yeah. Because
the logistics.
She is transgender and not only figure out logistics, but what's going to happen, you know, like, I guess how people might look at you and all that stuff.
Yeah, he did. I keep saying he.
She. It's going to be a hard thing. We apologize.
It takes a while to adjust.
Lila. But, just say yeah. Lila.
But she was saying that walking down the street, like she immediately felt like the difference walking down the street as a woman as opposed to being a white male.
Yeah.
And how she didn't realize before, like, the protection being a white male gives you.
But I think it's even different.
Interesting.
I don't think that's a fair statement. The reason I say that is because it might be even different for that situation because sometimes you can kind of tell. Do you know what I mean? That they're not a woman.
Oh, that. Yeah, especially early on.
Early on, before all the, you know, hormones and all yeah. the other stuff is going on.
True.
It would be a lot different than when True. You're converted over.
And also, if you're used to walking through the world in male clothes as a male, and suddenly, well, not suddenly, but and now you're walking down the street in a dress. You know, you're gonna feel. Feel different, I guess.
And then you have to deal with all that bathroom stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be horrible.
That's probably the worst That's thing. That's got to be the worst. And that's still very controversial. Controversial in schools, controversial in, you know what I mean? Airports, yeah. Everything.
Everywhere. There's actually the high school that's close to me. They had a big thing, I think it was the last year or the year before, because there was a transgender girl who wanted to use the female bathroom, and there was a big stink about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the resolution for that was, if she was able to use it, or I think they ended up putting in like a what's it called? Unisex?
Yeah.
Like a bathroom.
They have those too.
A like family bathroom.
A lot of the family stuff is related to like bring your baby in here. Because there's also that ethical thing about how old you could take your children into the same bathroom with you.
Right, right. Yeah, because when my daughter was little, I would take her into the.
Right, but how old did you do that? I'm gonna tell you a story and then. But I'm going to ask you about how old was it?
Yeah, I got to remember. I don't remember when my daughter was. She was pretty young when she was able to do it on her own. I mean, I'd hang out. I'd stand outside the women's bathroom waiting for her.
Are we talking about 4 or 5 or 7?
No, it was probably 4. Yeah, 4 maybe.
Okay. Because I was in the man's bathroom. And I went in there for a distinctive purpose. Because... Barb told me you're wearing your shirt backwards. and I had like the V in the back with the buttons, and it was all messed up, right? So I go into the bathroom, and I'm in there like taking my shirt off. Like, I just have my pants on, and somebody was in the stall, but I'm in there taking the shirt off, and this guy brings in his like 7-year-old daughter, and she yells, "Ah!" because she sees a naked man or a guy getting dressed.
Why was he taking a 7-year-old girl in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she was 7, but she was
clearly old enough to go bathroom.
Up to my shoulder, you know, height wise.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not tall. I'm 5'2", but
unless, I mean, I guess she could have had developmental issues or something that precludes her from going to the bathroom by herself.
It could be. I scared her, whatever.
Good. Maybe now she'll
learn her lesson.
Stick to the...
Maybe I ought to take my shirt off in restrooms more often.
You'll straighten everyone out. Use the proper bathroom.
Scare the hell out of everybody. It's just a lesson. Don't worry.
It is a good lesson. The lesson is, if you're going to go into a men's bathroom, you got to prepare for the worst.
Prepare for the worst.
You never know what you're going to find in there.
You never know. We've seen shit in the urinal before. I can't explain that. But...
the smells and sounds that are going to haunt you. Yeah, I stopped taking my daughter in, you know, long ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but it had to do with No Angel and had to do with Kim and Kim.
Yeah, Kim and Kim brought us there.
She's got another book coming out I saw in...
yeah, I can't remember. I don't think I ordered it because I didn't really like Kim and Kim.
That's
it was too young for me. It was too young.
Yeah, it was almost like a teenage type thing.
Yeah, I felt like an old man when I read it.
Me too. It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
And story wasn't told bad. I just didn't like it.
Now, that actually segues us into another book that we got. Slam.
Yes.
From Boom.
This one I just bought because of the cover, and I really liked it.
I bought it because I like roller derby stuff. So this is written by Pamela Ribon, illustrated by Veronica Fish.
And she's done a lot of Archie stuff lately.
Veronica Fish?
Yeah. That's what I know her from.
So Slam is about these two girls who become interested in the roller derby.
Which leads us to another movie called by Ellen Page that's about roller derby. So it has a link to Ellen Page and Juno.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
We just got to figure out how we're going to get sharks to connect.
To Ellen Page.
Yes. Ellen Page.
To roller derby.
Ellen Page, who is notorious for...
Maybe we should... Hey, this is an idea.
Eating sharks.
Sharks are big now, obviously. We had The Shallows come out. We got 3 comics on sharks. Mm-hmm. What if we combined sharks and roller derby? I bet that hasn't been done before.
Probably not. That is an interesting... I don't know how we would do...
You put the great whites rollerblades, and they're struggling for water, and they kill each other.
Flap around the course. Or, I was thinking, you do like a glass floor, and there's water in there with sharks, and then part of the track is open, so you have to like jump over the... You have to jump
I like your idea, Bill. I like where this is going. This could be big. And plus they have that TV show called Shark Tank.
That's true. We could call it Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Shark Derby.
Roller Shark.
Roller Shark. Sharknado, that's big too.
Yeah.
I think we're onto something.
Coming soon from Geek Brunch Comics, we need to work it out.
Shark Derby.
Yeah.
Roller Shark. Yeah,
This
roller.
could be this would be a totally great B film. Like, really great. This could be something big.
Yeah, and I think it has a star like a woman who's down on her luck, maybe abused her husband abuses her, and she's on her own now. And she
Yeah.
finds this crazy roller derby. Or no, she gets sucked into this world
Through friends.
through friends, and she gets hooked on the heroin. And then she has to finally, it's her turn to go do the roller sharking.
Well, she thinks it's normal, like roller derby. They like talk her about, oh, skating like this, skating like that. Nobody tells her that there's sharks underneath the
Right. And
floor.
she's like practicing. And then in the behind the scenes, they're working on a way to make this more popular. And so they decide to introduce sharks. And the first time they do it, all of the women get killed.
Except for her.
But then when she does it, yeah, she will be the sole survivor.
All her friends like that are in the
Are
same
getting, yeah,
team
getting killed
because
one
their
by
team
one.
loses. She's the only survivor on her own team because she was penalized. Don't they have like don't you get like put in the box?
Yeah, penalty box.
Yeah, she's in the penalty box and her other friends are eaten
And then
by sharks.
one of the sharks gets out and is going around the track, killing her friends.
We need to quit our jobs and go do write these comics, man. People want this shit.
They're clamoring for it.
Yeah.
I would buy this book.
Of course you would. We'd be the only two that bought it. And then we could give some to our loved ones.
Is your
They look what
cover of
we're
Roller
doing.
Shark? It's the tale of a young woman addicted to sex.
Yeah.
Join the roller derby. And she's on heroin.
Oh, and better yet, the tie-in is this woman is one of the wives of the other book that I'm writing, the football book.
Oh, yeah, her football
Well,
player uses her.
First and Ah. It's got a link to First and Ah.
It's because her husband was seeing a dominatrix.
Yeah. So she gets on heroin. Oh, this is all this continuity shit is gonna work.
Does all take place in the same world?
But she'll never see. Well, we don't know how we're gonna get to the dino world, or I haven't thought about explaining it, but the whole world turns that way. So I don't know how the roller the roller rink can exist in this time warped world.
Perhaps they're prehistoric sharks.
Ooh, there we go.
They're giant prehistoric sharks.
And then we could evolve the licker. He'll lick one of the sharks. He accidentally gets involved
Falls in love with her.
with the shark?
No, with the woman, the woman
The
on her.
heroin woman.
Yes.
So he actually changes gender. And he falls in love with her so he could be in the slam, in the roller
Oh,
rink.
in the roller, yeah.
Yeah. And he actually falls in and has to lick the
Lick the
shark.
shark in order to survive.
Yeah. And he eats the sharks. That is awesome.
Eats the sharks.
The liquor. There we go. We combined all the different plots.
Where's the guesser fit in
The
this?
guests are still in prison. He's watching it on his TV.
Watching. He's betting on it.
Yeah.
So slam.
So Slam takes place prior to First and Awe. So
Right.
I mean
There's no.
many years before First and Awe. So let's get rid of the prehistoric sharks. These are just real sharks. That way I could tie into everything.
Okay.
First and Awe has to happen
Yeah, later.
later in the future because it's going to turn the world into
Right,
real.
this could be like earlier in the dude's life, like when
they're in the football team younger.
Before this is what started him heading down the path, the deviant path.
Yeah. There we go. But I can't use the guy that goes the Donna Matrix because he's a good guy. He just likes to get his ass whooped all the time.
Oh, okay.
It has to be one of the other football players.
Maybe one of the other football players introduces the guy to the Dominatrix.
Yeah. Maybe the Donna Matrix is one of the roller girls on her other...
That is likely.
Yeah. She does that at night. She does roller derby every Thursday night because roller shark derby is every Thursday.
Thursdays.
And they have specials like Throwback Thursday. If you come back in your throwback gear, you get a free ticket into the roller shark. This is great. Got to get it on paper. But this is Slam, and this is number one from Boombox. Let's get back on track.
Yes, so this is... So there's two women. There's one, she's a... Was she in high school?
No, I think these women are older.
They're older.
I think both of them are.
Okay.
I think they're in their 20s.
Okay, yeah. So she doesn't have a lot of friends. She's not seeing anyone, and she decides. Oh, she.
She's actually into. She's studying at a university. She's studying.
Okay, university. That's what.
Yeah, like the study of rocks or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
And she gets a flyer to this roller derby, and she decides to go to it. And of course, when she goes there, she loves it. And then decides to sign up for it. And she meets this other woman who is also not happy with her life.
She seems more like an introvert, though, to me. The blonde one?
Yeah. So they both decide to...
Oh, she was recently dumped, too. Like, she was in that relationship for a long time.
All right.
And that's what her thing is. She's trying to find her way in a world without her boyfriend.
Right.
And they become best friends. And it's almost like has that League of Their Own thing going on. In League of Their Own, it was two sisters that make the baseball team. But then they get divided up. And it's like they were in tryouts for this roller derby, and they get put on different teams.
Right, they both get drafted, but they get on different teams.
Yeah.
And it was good. There was a lot of what I would say, quote unquote, like younger type stuff in it. Not like younger stuff, but... Like, they have pages where they show, like, before derby, after derby. Then they have, like, rules of the derby and things like that.
Yeah.
But I thought it all worked. I thought it was very well told. I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. I already have issue 2. I should read it.
There you go. So if you're a fan of, what was that movie called?
The one with Juno?
No, the roller derby one.
That's the one, with Ellen Page.
Oh, yeah, with Ellen Page in it, yeah.
I don't know, I put it on my wall somewhere. Let me find it. After I scroll through all the freaking comics I read. Da-da-da. Meanwhile, we have a question from Luke Foster. He asks us, Luke Foster, the creator of Lorraine Bobbitt comics.
Yeah, Drunken Monkey comics.
Drunken Monkey comics. He asked, how did you ring in the new year? I fell asleep about 8 o'clock. I woke up about 11:30. I went to the bathroom because I had to go to the bathroom.
You pissed in the new year.
Came out of the bathroom and saw Barb outside listening to gunshots and looking at fireworks on the mountain. And I read about 3 comic books. I read Action Comics and a couple other ones. What did you do, Bill?
That's beautiful. What did we do last? We ordered pizza.
It's in the white part of your brain.
No. Not yet.
Not yet.
Still fresh. Still fresh. We ordered pizza from our favorite pizza place.
What's
Nino's.
That?
Nino's Pizza.
And what toppings do you get on this pizza?
We always get a stuffed pizza with mushrooms. And it's delicious.
What's stuffed in it? That's like calzone, isn't it? That's not a pizza.
It's a pizza. No, it's pizza. It's like thick.
Stuffed pizza is called a calzone, Bill.
It's not calzone.
Barb, is stuffed pizza called a calzone? Yeah, she says yes. You're wrong.
You guys don't know anything. I'm from Chicago area.
You don't like say. What do you order? When you go fill out your order or you call it in, what do you say? I want a stuffed pizza.
Stuffed pizza.
That's what they call it?
They have pan pizza. I don't have to pull up their menu. They have pan pizza and they have stuffed pizza.
So these guys are not Italian. They don't understand the word calzone. So they say stuffed pizza.
It's not a calzone. I know what a calzone is. I've had a calzone.
I don't think you had a calzone last night.
I've had a calzone in Italy.
You calzoned it.
Calzone is not a calzone.
It's not a calzone.
It's a pizza.
Is it circular?
It's
or is it square?
I will take a picture of this pizza.
Well, you Chicago guys can't make up your mind about making square pizzas or circular pizzas.
We have mostly circular pizzas. You're not square pizzas.
You have square pizzas.
Not typically. Maybe if you get like the party pizza or something.
I'm not talking about Little Caesar's party pizza. I'm
talking
about Chicago. Chicago style
pizza is round.
Chicago style pizza is not round.
Yes, it is.
Have you lived in Chicago?
I live there right now. I am currently.
Well, we have a lot of clone places then. Clone in Chicago that make square pizzas.
The fake Chicago pizza.
Yeah, so it makes me think that you have square pizzas.
We don't have square pizza. Well, I mean, some places probably have square pizzas. But any of your big. Like, Uno's does not have square pizzas.
Uno's is lousy, though.
Yeah, Uno's isn't very good.
Uno's is so bad. That's the only pizza place I won't go to. They put something in their sauce that just
turns you off.
Turns me loose.
They have a veggie pizza. That's
is it
on.
Called a calzone? Is it stuffed?
I think it's just a deep dish, pan pizza, but. It has pesto. It doesn't have any red sauce. It's just pesto. It's good. I like that one from there.
Okay, but so you're rocking in the new year with the pizza. A stuffed pizza. That's the proper term. No calzone. It's a stuffed
pizza. Stuffed pizza. It's not a calzone.
Okay.
Has no crust on the top of it.
And it's stuffed with mushrooms?
Mushrooms.
And it has tomato sauce?
Yeah, tomato sauce on top.
And
what
delicious. Else is it? Cheese?
Cheese, lots of cheese.
Mozzarella?
Yes, mozzarella.
Yeah?
Mozzarella.
And was it a small, medium, or large?
Large.
You got a large for the whole family?
For the whole family.
Okay. And how many slices of this pizza did you intake?
I ate one piece.
You disgust me.
I ate one piece, but I ate the crust of both my kids' pizzas, so I had two.
That doesn't count.
The crust is delicious.
He ate one piece of pizza with stuffed mushrooms in it. Does mushrooms give you gas?
No.
Okay, just ask.
Mushrooms make you hallucinate.
tell you to like intake them that way. I hear they only do that if they you shove them up your ass.
Oh, really? I'll try that tonight.
Is there any more stuff? Pizza with mushrooms in it? Try shoving it up your ass and tell me what you see.
That's why they call it stuffed pizza.
So you can stuff it right up your ass. It's supposed to go in the other way, Bill.
All I could fit was one piece.
Loosen that sphincter, man. Loosen it.
You'll be able to get another piece up there.
Yeah.
Start
with one finger and then work your way up.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was wondering, like, the whole fist was just too much. Now I know.
Yeah.
What do you use for lube? I was just using olive oil.
I don't use lube. The sauce is part of it.
Oh, the sauce.
Yeah. It works better with pesto sauce than it does it, you know, spaghetti sauce.
But that's a little. I don't know which is more spicy.
I think pesto isn't spicy, is it?
No, I guess pesto would be okay.
Yeah, it's pretty mild.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good lube.
Garlic might burn a little bit,
but it's healthy.
It's healthy, right? Garlic's healthy.
Go into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Good for your heart.
Okay, so you're starting this new year off and you're shoving pizza
up my ass. So the traditional New Year's celebration.
And you only got one piece up there, but you managed to shove up two pieces of your kid's class.
That's right. Well lubed crust. You're not gonna eat that, are you?
Okay, I'm gonna... Chicago style stuffed pizza.
Oh man.
Oh. Okay. I'm glad Luke Foster asked this question.
Good question, Luke.
I didn't expect this answer. That's a great New Year's tradition. I'm going to shove some pizza up my ass.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so you did that.
Yeah, the traditional. And then we watched Quantico.
Quantico.
Which we're still... I think we're almost done season one of Quantico.
So you rocked in the new year with Quantico.
Quantico.
That sounds like a hell of a new year. Stuffed pizza and Quantico.
Stuffed pizza and Quantico.
I slept, took a shit, saw Barb looking at fireworks.
Watched Barb watch fireworks.
Read some comics. But I didn't shove anything up my ass.
Oh, man. What about those beads I sent you?
I did not get the anal beads for Christmas yet. Damn it. Send me the tracking number. They probably went somewhere else.
Those are, yeah, someone probably found them on your porch and...
And took them and stole them. Yeah.
Some lady's probably wearing them around her neck.
You started off small then, right? They look like pearls.
Lovely. Ooh, these are big pearls.
You sent me a pearl necklace, but it was anal beads. You know, where are you going?
I'm just adjusting.
The pizza.
It's
falling out of your hole.
It's hard to keep the crust in. It wants to shoot right out.
You had to tighten this a little bit.
I was just tightening my sphincter.
Give me a moment. That's only the first part of his question.
Oh, boy.
The second part is, have you ever shoved anything up your ass? And the answer is yes for you. No. The second question is, what are your comic-based resolutions?
To finish bagging all my comics and then logging and figuring out how to put them in boxes. Well, figure out if I want to merge them or start some kind of numbered system.
I probably could merge yours in a weekend. They're all a bunch of number ones in alphabetical order by
company. I think I'm going to have one box that's just number ones.
That's weird.
I know, it's weird because it probably won't fit
then in one box. Well, then you're separating ones that you might have other issues for.
No, if I have more than one, if I have more than just the first issue, that'll be a separate, that won't be in the number one box.
Let's see, for me, I think it has to do with organization. I am going to try to box them. That's the piece that's missing. So I get them off of Barb's table as I inventory them. I'm going to add boxing into it somehow. I haven't figured it out yet, but that's my resolution. Other than that, I also think I'll finish the Guessers this year. That's all my resolutions.
And right now, I'm reading the Wandering Star Omnibus, so I need to finish that.
I don't even know what that is.
Wandering Star. Don't you remember that book?
Mm-mm.
It came out in the late 80s, early 90s in the black and white boom.
I'll look it up and see if it shows up. Wandering Star. Yeah, it does show up.
So this came out like when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was out and Cerebus.
Pen and Ink Publishing.
Yeah, it was a self-published.
Terry S. Wood.
That's it. Like Strangers in Paradise, I think, was going on. Hepcats. I used to get it, like, the single issues, and then Dover brought out a hardback omnibus last year, I think.
Doesn't look like it's that many issues. 21. You should be able to knock issues. That out resolution.
I'm about halfway through it. It's fantastic sci-fi. It's about a woman. It takes place in the future where on Earth we kind of destroyed the environment and now live like inside because we can't really go outside. And we've made contact with we were attacked by an alien race, and then other alien races kind of helped us. And now the first human woman is at a academy on another planet. She's the first human at this academy. And so it's her story. It's good.
Sounds interesting. I don't think I'll ever read it, but
I don't think you will either.
Yeah. But I see what it is. It's got very boring covers, that's for sure. It just says Wandering Star, Book 2, Book 3, Book 4. There's nothing. Oh, yeah, there's like no cover art.
Yeah, no art.
Yeah, it's really lame. How's the art style?
It's good. It's black and white. And she uses like a lot of, like the shading is like dots. It's very, I don't know what you call that.
It's weird that the trades have art on the cover, but the actual comic does not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see if I have my. Is I'm gonna try to buy Daredevil number one, and complete my Daredevil collection. Because it's like the only book I'm missing, plus a couple of cheaper ones. I'd like to finish my Ghost Riders and be done with that. And I think as far as like collections, those are the only ones I'm gonna try to finish this year. I mean, I'll obviously finish a bunch of other ones, but those are the ones that I'm gonna target.
Big one.
Yeah, all the other stuff is gonna be random, whatever I feel like. Ah, man, there's so much I would like to read, but I get too many freaking books. I'd like to read Preacher again, especially after watching the TV show. I'd sure like to revisit that.
I never read Preacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I never got into for some reason.
Yeah, I'd like to read that. I think I have the single issues, but I'm not sure. I know I bought the deluxe hardcovers, so I could read it like that. But I'm almost positive I bought a full run of that series, and I just didn't put it in my database for whatever reason. So I'd like to find it. Yeah, I'd like to find it. And that's the end of that question. We have another book, Romulus. I think I like Romulus. This one the least. It's not because
I like
it's
this
bad.
One.
It just, I've seen this story so many times.
About the hidden...
About the female awesome fighter
warriors
that's put in the world that she has to save the world. You know? I've seen that. Epic was like that, but a different one. It was more like a super spy type character. There was other types of books that I've read like that. It's well told. It's just something I've seen so many times.
Yeah, I can understand that. I liked it though. I thought it was really well executed, and I really like the art.
Really?
Who's the artist? Nelson Blake the second.
I did not like the art like you did. I felt the art was like...
You're crazy.
Xenoscope-ish.
No way. You're crazy. Yeah,
I really felt that way.
I disagree 100%.
I liked the back matter because it gave a little bit more... mother-daughter type interaction that was told in a letter kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is there's a female. So the main character is this woman. Her mother was in this group, and she's in this group of women warriors that have existed throughout time. But now the company that runs them has turned on them, and there's an assassin after her. I don't know.
They have an organization that's after them.
Right.
But, which is Romulus. The Romulus organization is after them. They used to work for Romulus. They found out that they were corrupt and were going to lead to the death of billions. And now they're trying to single-handedly take down the organization to save a billion lives.
Who published this? This is an image.
Image.
Is it a Top Cow? Written by Brian Hill.
It was Top Cow?
It was.
Really? I don't see any Top Cow.
I know, it's not on the cover, interestingly.
Oh, it's only on the inside cover. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't like the art. I liked it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it looked very Xenoscope-ish. I didn't say I did not like Xenoscope. I just said it has this in-house type look to it.
I disagree.
Yeah, but what do you know? You shoved pizza up your ass.
Maybe it's the pizza talking.
Yeah.
But I thought the art was fantastic.
I read something else that you probably didn't read, but I want to talk about it because I liked it a lot. I didn't know what to expect, but the art looked good on the cover.
Okay.
And it was from Hammer Films. It was The Mummy. And
I did not get this.
I did not either. And then I ordered number two. I don't know what the fuck happened. I didn't order number one, so I went on to eBay, and this shipper was amazing. I like ordered it on Monday, it came in on Wednesday. It was like bang. So I already had two, so I read one and two. And I don't know what the link is to Hammer Films, but it's like a modern take on two groups of people. One is the Pyramid Group and one is the Anubis. I think that's the dog-looking god in Egypt. There's like an Anubis sect. And the Anubis sect sacrifices women with this pyramid on their neck so they could immortalize themselves, or it gives them longer life. So they go through this ritual, and they're also in the sex trade, or, you know, capturing women for other countries and then selling them. And they found this one woman that has a pyramid, and they couldn't complete the ritual. And somebody from the pyramid group actually saves her, but the older guys want to kill her. But it's really suspenseful. I like it. And the art is beautiful. Like, really? The covers are amazing. The art is amazing.
Who is the publisher?
It's called The Mummy Palimpsest. It's Titan.
Oh, Titan. Okay.
And it's Peter Milligan, who's a well-known writer. Mm-hmm. And the artist I've never heard of before, but I like it a lot. It's Ronaldson Fieri. Fury. But, yeah, great book. So I definitely gonna finish. I like what Titan's doing lately. I've read Norbert, or what is it called? Norman.
Oh, Norman.
Yeah, which is the Sealer Killer Kid. I like The Mummy. I like Peep Show. I like Trigger Man. We just read the Hookjaw. That was Titan. Yeah, so I'm digging what Titan's doing lately.
There are a lot of books coming out.
They do. Most of them are Doctor Who.
Yeah, they got a lot of video games. TV and video game tie-ins.
Yeah, they did Heroes.
Oh, I just saw in previews they have the Trigger Man and Peep Land trades.
Yeah, I buy the singles, but really happy with that stuff. And there's a third... crime noir book coming from them. I don't know what it's called, but I don't remember. It's called like Reactivist or something like that.
Reassignment?
Reassignment, there you go. That's going to be good.
Oh, they got Tank Girl too.
Yeah, I get Tank Girl as well. Some good stuff, Maynard.
They got Moorcock.
I don't read that. Michael Moorcock?
Keith does.
Keith loves that stuff.
Do we have any other books?
You did. You said you read The Hulk, which is She-Hulk, right?
Yes, I read the new She-Hulk number one. I liked it. By, what's her name? Mariko, is that her name? Tamaki? Yeah, Mariko Tamaki. Yeah, I like her stuff. She does some stuff with her cousin, I believe, Jillian. It was good. I enjoyed it.
What's the premise of it? I mean, we know her cousin is dead and...
Yeah, so she's getting over that, and she's starting at a new law firm. I think it's the same law firm, but a different branch of the same law firm.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows her getting there, and she's kind of trying to deal with all that happened. And she gets a new client, this woman who looks kind of like an alien. And she says she's getting kicked out of her apartment, and she can't leave her apartment. She needs help. So She-Hulk's going to help her with that. And then you find out that there's something in her apartment, like some entity. That's why she doesn't want to leave it, because it protects her or something. It was good, though. A lot of it is just her dealing with everything that happened and kind of trying to hold it together and start this new job. So it was good. It was enjoyable.
And you said something about Tomorrow's. I thought we covered that a long time ago.
That, you might have.
That was an older one.
No, did I say Tomorrow's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I said the wrong thing.
Okay.
Forever's. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, you said Tomorrow's and I Am.
Yeah, I had the name wrong.
So I didn't read it because I had already read it. I had read Tomorrow's from Dark Horse like about a year ago.
Well, now you need to read Forever's from Black Mask.
What is that one about?
It is about this group of like. It starts out this group of like, I can't remember, seven or eight people make like a pact, kind of like with the devil or something. They don't say exactly what.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And then it jumps to the future where they're all like, one of the women is like a famous actress, one of the dudes is like a famous rock star. So they're all like famous, and then one of them is killed, so it looks like someone's like after them or something like that. But the art is like, it's kind of like a painted style, almost like a Saipan Saic art style. It's quite good.
And there was something released in that had like a European artist. God, I can't think of his name. He does like European comics. Released in Dark Horse recently. I ordered something just to try it because I've heard his name over and over again. And he was in the last previews. I ordered one of the trades. This preview's got a lot of stuff, man. Like a lot of good stuff. But they always do.
I just started looking through it. I like on the cover, it has American Gods. They're doing a comic version of...
Yeah, I'm going to get that for sure. Did you notice the cover stock on it is different on your previews?
It's like thick
cover stock.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very thick.
Yeah.
Maybe stores are complaining because covers are getting trashed too easily.
I think I'm going to... Yeah, but this is usually a throwaway book anyway, I would think, in most cases. I know people who do save them. They are interesting if I had the space.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. I can't keep them because they're so big. They would take up too much room. Like, I would run out of room too quickly.
We have a new Matt Kent book coming out called Grass Kings from Boom Studios. And another one that stood out is Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. I used to read those novels as a kid.
Yeah, I read Hardy Boys. So Kent has a book in... Jeff Lemire has a new Image book that he's writing and drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to go through all of previews yet.
There's this John Lennon. Looks like a biographical book in IDW. Looks pretty interesting. So does the Helena Crash. That looks pretty good. At least the cover art does. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Die Kitty Die Trade is out if you liked it. And Pussycats is back. And it's got a nun on the cover.
Which was Pussycats?
That was from E-Comics.
Oh, that was... I don't think I ever got that one.
I thought you did. I thought you got one of them.
Maybe. Oh, I think I did get one. You're right.
There's actually something in Fantagraphics I'm thinking of getting, and I don't usually go there.
Really?
But it's called All-Time Comics. Crime Destroyer, number one. It's by Joss Baylor and has Herb Tripe art, like one of his last works before he passed, I guess. With Ben Mara art as well.
Oh, it's just a comic, too.
Yeah. Yep. The other thing I want to say I read is the Harbinger Renegade number two, and that is an amazing book. I like it a lot.
And on the same page as the All-Time Comics, they have John Stanley giving life to Little Lulu. I'll be picking that one up for sure.
Yeah, you like that stuff.
I love John Stanley. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
There was a couple interesting things in Fantagraphics that I'm on the fence with. Yep. Animosity trade is out. You might want to get that.
Yeah, I saw that. I'll definitely pick that one
up. You weren't as big on that as I was, if I remember correctly.
I liked it. I just couldn't tell where it was going from there. I think that was my issue. But I did enjoy it. See if this is a bigger month. Last month for me was a little smaller, so.
Titan has this new series called Anno Dracula. What? Which I'll probably get.
Okay.
I'm liking Titan comics. I mean, I'll probably get that Monster High Free Comic Book Day one, too.
Is it Monster High like a kid thing?
Yeah. But those dolls are cool as hell, man. I bought them from my niece, and I like the dolls a lot.
Yeah, they are cool. They're
like,
monsters.
They're like Barbies, but they were created from mashes of monsters, like famous monsters and stuff. I like them. Oh, so Peepland and Trigger Man are gone. They're not there anymore. Dang.
Yeah, I wonder if there's more to those.
That sucks. I thought it was a permanent thing. Did you read Masked? It was a Titan book. I wanted to.
I believe I did.
I did not get it.
You didn't get it?
No.
Let me look it up. I think I read it. Sounds familiar.
The trade is offered this. It says it's called like Superman versus Blade Runner. Geek Syndicate, the podcast, says it's intriguing, detailed, and thoroughly addictive.
I wonder if this is it here.
I hear the art looks pretty good.
Oh, is that the one that takes place in, like, France?
A futuristic France, maybe?
Yeah, I did read that. I liked it. It was okay. The art was really good.
You're not... It's nothing... You're on the fence with it, then? Like, if
I'm on the fence, yeah. I really like the art a lot, though. This is gorgeous art.
And there's a lot of collected editions in Marvel and DC that I'm getting, but I didn't see like a lot elsewhere. Good stuff, man. Well, do you want to wrap this up or do you have anything else? Oh, I wanted to point out one more book, Harlequin. Little Black Book number 5. This would appeal to anybody who's a Neil Adams fan and anybody who's read Superman versus Muhammad Ali, because this is an off take. Like, it's like doing the same storyline with Harley Quinn instead of Muhammad Ali. So if you're into the retro thing and you want to read something.
It's new though, right?
Like, yeah, it's not brand
just new. I mean, like, the story is a unique story. It's not the...
It's pretty much the same story.
Same plot?
It's just a little more extreme because it's Harlequin.
Right.
So take Muhammad Ali out, replace it with Harlequin, and then go from there. But the overall plot is the same.
Okay.
You know, an alien comes to the world, you're going to have to fight, or will destroy Earth, and they have Superman fight Harlequin to see who's going to fight their champion, just like they had Muhammad Ali fight Superman to fight their champion.
Very similar. Neil Adams art, right?
Yeah, Neil Adams art on cover. And they probably didn't want to deal with the celebrity thing that they did with the original one. So they put aliens in there instead.
On the cover, yeah.
There's a few, like, you can see, like, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama on the cover. And there's a few others that you can see, but other than that, they're aliens. The solicit didn't have, it actually had celebrities, so I don't know why they changed it, other than it might
That's
take,
interesting.
It might take a likeness lawyer or something like that to say, hey, you can't put me on the book. But you could always you always have that clause in law or whatever that you could do satire on likenesses. Like Mad Magazine, you can make fun of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I heard What's Her Name really botched the singing last night. Mariah Carey.
Oh, Mariah Carey. Yeah, I watched a little clip of it.
It's a damn shame that people think they'd want to hear you lip sync. Anybody can lip sync.
I know, I can't stand it when there's lip syncing. It's like,
I mean, can't you sing anymore? It's your own fucking song, you know? Yeah, if you're older and whatever and your voice is a little different, but who gives a fuck? I'd rather have genuine voice than just listen to a record.
Yeah, see you doing, putting on the hits.
Yeah, putting on the Ritz. So, anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
I think that's it.
What is the name of that place you can stuff pizza up your ass? What is that name?
Nino's.
Nino's. So if you're ever in Chicago and you want to stuff some pizza up your ass, go to Nino's.
Just get the Nino's stuffed pizza.
Yeah, shove it up right up there. You can reach us at Geek Brunch Podcast. Bill is at DBM00. Micah has changed his name from at do what to something else. I don't know what the hell's going on there. And I'm
Isn't
at
he
Mike
still
Brunch
at do
Brunch.
What?
No. He's like at something sensei or sensei.
Yeah. Sensei now.
He just changed us.
I did read Doom Patrol. And I liked
it. That's my least favorite. Did you read Cave Carson yet?
Yeah, we talked about that. That was my favorite.
That's my favorite now. I've switched. It used to be Shade, but now it's Cave Carson. I like it every issue.
Mine was really I like Cave Carson, then Shade, then
Doom Patrol,
and then Mother Panic.
Mother Panic's intriguing, but there's something about Tommy Edwards' art and the way the story is being told that I get a little lost. Like,
a little bit of a disjoint.
No, it could be just me. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm still intrigued. Like, I'm curious on the different plot threads. I'm just not sure if when they're showing one female, if it's the same female as Mother Panic or if it's somebody else.
Well, so you're just getting
I'm getting confused on see if that's part of the plot line. It's got some dark themes. She cusses a lot, too. But the second issue opened up with this disturbing scene where this old dude is asking for the daughter of some guy, like, to take her away somewhere, and he's going to let his daughter go with him. And the daughter hears it from the other room. And that's where I got confused.
He's probably going to introduce her to a life of roller sharking.
It could be roller sharking. That's going to be great. I wish I could draw because that would be fun to draw. You know, like a roller rink, and then you have these little holes where you could push people into, and there's sharks down there.
I got to jump them.
Yeah.
Jump the shark.
And you have these people that are all bleeding and stuff from playing roller derby, and they fall in there, and it attracts the shark.
And when they jump over the holes, like, blood will drip in there.
Yeah, so they're getting hungry.
And the sharks are chasing them under the glass around the rink.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be exciting to watch.
Yes. It actually combined, like, Atoll and Slam. And a couple other plots. That's pretty awesome.
We are. They do call us the masters of the concept.
Yeah. The Hackmasters.
Hackmasters.
And we are at Geek Brunch Podcast, Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Send him some email, especially if you're intrigued about shoving stuff up your ass.
Don't send me email about that, please.
And Mike at comicbooknoise.com on Twitter. I think we already said what we were. And on Facebook, we're at Geek Brunch Podcast, and there's always episode threads there. And Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year. Oh, and for your all ages comic strip fun, AlfieandMrBubbles.com.
Yeah.
Shiny in the new year. There'll be a new one up on Monday.
And I want to know if your son tells anyone. That's interesting.
I'll have to ask him if he's told anyone yet.
I find that fascinating because it would say like, hey, I've done a webcomic. What do you think? Or it's like, I'm doing this just to do it. And I don't care if anybody sees it or not. That is interesting to me.
He likes hearing when people read it.
Yeah.
I tell him someone said something and he gets excited. I think he has told some of his friends.
But I want to know if he told like his at least his closest friends, hey, have you seen my comic?
Hey, check this out.
Yeah. We'll know, ask that question and we'll answer it next episode.
That's right. Yeah, someone has to post it as a question or else I can't answer it.
Post the question. Remind us. Because we might fall into our white parts of the brain, right?
It's proven by science.
Yeah. Science.
That we have holes in our brain.
White marks. All right, well, I'll talk to you later, and you get tomorrow off, so that's good, because this is like a Saturday. You have some breathing room before you get back into the scheme of things.
Yep, one more day to relax.
I'm glad. I'm really glad.
It's a nice buffer day, transition day.
Yeah.
And I'll start working on my new idea, Roller Shark.
Didn't I come up with this idea? No, you did. I'll give you credit. Because I was going somewhere different with it. I was going to have the roller shark.
Yeah, you're going to have sharks on the
derby. That makes no sense. That's an all kids book. That just doesn't follow in the Geek Brunch paradigm.
Rollerblading sharks?
Yeah, it'd be like you have like Jabberjaws.
I'm going to get you.
Yeah, I'm going to get you. Because they used the like Curly's voice for Jabberjaw, didn't they? Like
I think so.
The Three Stooges.
Yeah, the Three Stooges voice.
Yeah, I used to watch that a lot though. Jabberjaws, that was a good one. Did you ever watch Meatballs and Spaghetti?
It sounds familiar.
It had a scene like, "Are you ready? Are you ready for Meatballs Spaghetti?" They were like two shaggy like rock stars. One was fat and one was skinny. And they had a female. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember if I've...
Yeah, it was just a bizarre cartoon, but it was entertaining as hell.
I know I watched it, but I don't remember it specifically.
I remember it. It came before one of the shows I really liked. But I was like, this is a cool cartoon. You know what I've been reading that I like a lot, and it's a kid's book? So, I'm all in on DC, right? So there's the DC Kids line. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? That's a good comic, man.
Really?
Yeah, the stories are just... If you're a fan of traditional Scooby-Doo, this is, like, really good. Like, really good execution. I actually like it a lot. I like it more than... Well, no, Scooby-Doo Team-Up is pretty awesome.
I knew you'd like Team-Up.
Team-Up is great. The Zatanna issue was fantastic.
That would be good.
It was so good. And they threw in, like, every single DC magical character you could think of.
Yeah, I should have got that one.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I haven't read Looney Tunes yet. That's the one I need to get into. I've read Super Friends, that they re-relaunched it. But they're pretty good comics. But you missed out on this Mummy one. I think it's really good. It was kind of like one of the ones where you read issue one and it introduces stuff, and it's a little confusing. Like, you just can't put it all together. And then you read issue two and you're like, oh, all the puzzle pieces,
Sort of
that,
comes together in
yeah.
two. Yeah.
Because I read two and I'm like, oh man, I am totally in now. Do you know what I mean? One, I was like, I like this, but I'm not sure I see it, but I'm glad I picked it up. All right, well, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks then,
All
and
right.
a happy new year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Bye bye.
Barbara.